Hi, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. And, yeah, we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Steve Grzanich follows at 5 with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday, and that means it's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. You guys program the bumps that we play coming back from news and commercials and stuff. Your requests, we play them. Get them in now. Today is 2 for Tuesday. That's one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. Get them in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm very, very happy to welcome back to the studio my friend Jen Bosworth, who is a great writer, a great performer. She has appeared on this radio station many times. She's appeared on my show many, many times, but it's been far too long since she's joined me on the show. And so she's going to be here, and she has a new gig going where she's combined her backgrounds as a therapist and a writer and a performer, and she creates custom monologues for actors to use on auditions. And that's her latest gig. And we've got a ton of talk about. She hasn't been on the show in almost, it's been almost 2 years since she's been on the show, which is far too long. So we're going to bring Jen in here and just have some fun with her because she's fantastic. And I'm just excited that she's here. And so we're going to hang out for a while with her. We are also going to talk about TV shows that have the most unlikable characters and some of the most unlikable characters in TV history. And the reason, the reason why I want to talk about this is because I watched the new HBO show Camping yesterday. And this is the new show. It debuted on Sunday night on HBO. Dan Feinberg talked about it on last Thursday morning when we had him on and said, you know, it's from Lena Dunham, who is the creator of Girls, which had a lot of characters that were unlikable, including her character. The lead character was pretty annoying. And he said, Dan Feinberg said that Jennifer Garner, who is, you know, like one of America's sweethearts, everybody loves Jennifer Garner. She always plays really sweet and lovable characters, plays one of the most aggressively unlikable characters that, you know, and your patience for the show will depend on how much you can handle this character. And he's right. Way right. And it's not just her. There are other characters on the show that are also dually annoying. But I loved the show. I watched the first episode, I watched the pilot, and I loved it. But I can see people hating it and finding her character so insanely annoying that they might last 10 minutes. But I loved it. But that got me to thinking about really unlikable characters in TV shows. So we're going to get to that. And we didn't get to talk about The Price is Right coming to town, but we will this morning. Plus much more. Two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. Get them in now. Like I said, 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. And you can also download our podcasts. They're free. Subscribe to them wherever you get podcasts, at iTunes and so on. Lots of people listen to our podcasts. We're really grateful for that. Thank you very much. And it's free, and you can subscribe. Every single second of every single show is podcast. It'll show up on your device automatically, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So that's what's happening on the show this morning. And let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hi, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
Good, man.
All right. Now, have you ridden any camels since last week?
No, no animals were ridden of any sort.
Oh, okay.
In the 24 hours since I saw you last.
All right, cool. Now, you know, you do the fantasy football.
I do.
How did you do this past?
You know, I should check it right now. Based upon the score that Vic's been reporting, I should have been fine. I was up 80 points going into the final game, but she
33-30, right? Was
right,
the final?
Right. So unless Aaron Rodgers threw for 400 yards, threw all of those touchdowns to Jimmy Graham, I should win.
I think you'll be okay.
I think I'll be okay, but you never know. It was funny because they give you percentages, and I was a 99% favorite going into the game, but there's still that 1%.
Yeah,
you just don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. And you've been doing this for a while, right?
My friends have had this league for probably close to 10 years.
And it's just a fun, friendly league between you guys. You guys all know each other, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's some cash involved, so that
turns
it a little ugly sometimes. But you know.
But I mean, there are, you know, like I can understand, you know, that kind of a league would be a really good time because you know everybody that's in the league.
Right.
You get into these leagues where you're doing it nationwide
right.
or whatever, and that's a little crazy and intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I did win. So.
Oh, yeah. Good for you,
yeah.
Man. Are you doing good this season?
I'm doing all right.
And
my record does not reflect my things. My.
You're.
My solid team, but, you know, it could be worse. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Dan keeps track of all of those games. And I was saying, you know, 16 games is one thing, but for these guys who do the baseball fantasy league, I mean, that's 162
yeah,
games.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those people are nuts.
I know
people who are in a fly fishing fantasy league, so...
What was Robert Redford? What?
They, I mean, because they have like televised events, so you select a quote unquote team of guys, and whoever gets the most fish at the biggest poundage.
You know, Dan, what they've been doing now, what they've started now, and they're advertising it. They, you know the pre-show video stuff that they show at movie theaters, which is sponsored. They have clips of like upcoming TV shows or whatever, and there's Geico commercials and all that stuff. You know, they've got now, they are advertising, at AMC they have this thing called Newvie, which Maria Menounos is like the host of, and that's your pre-show video. They have Fantasy Movie League, where you have movie theaters, and you put movies into the movie theaters that you think are going to do well.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's like a box office kind of a fantasy movie, you know, league, so you have to program your movie theaters each week. And like whoever makes the most money, you know, it goes in your till.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long this. I mean, I guess it's year round. I would imagine it's year round, but you can play. I guess you can just play like weekly or pick a time period for you to play.
Yeah.
But you have to fill your movie theater screens.
Right. And that kind of appeals to the game because you're like, all right, well, if you have 10 screens, how many are you putting First Man on? How many are you knowing that the length time you might not be able to get any many showings? That's pretty neat.
It is pretty cool. And, you know, like, I I'm not like the, because, you know, like all of my friends that I used to hang out with at Ricochet's, we were all hockey fanatics. And I was one of only three people who did not do the Hockey Fantasy League because that's 82 games a year. Like, you know, and it's insane. And I don't, and you know, I found my friends were like rooting against the Hawks because they needed a guy to score a goal. And I'm like, hi, like, what are you talking about? But anyway, I found myself watching this, you know, thing with the Fantasy Movie League. And I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, because I kind of know the business.
Sure.
So I was kind of tempted to do it. I don't think so, because I would just I'd probably get kind of obsessed with it. I probably would.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have done well this past weekend because I would have put First Man in more theaters, and it tanked.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Well, I'm glad you're doing well.
On the
fantasy football thing. And Vic is in the newsroom. Vic Vaughn, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. It's a Tuesday. And I'm very excited about it. Vic, you know Jen Bosworth, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's coming in.
And it has been too long since she's been on.
She's
awesome on this show. I've listened to it. I haven't been around her physically much. Our lives don't cross paths too often.
Yeah.
But just when she's on your show, it's great listening.
It's fun, man. She's
hilarious.
She's just the best.
Witty and everything. You know, intelligent. It's really fun.
I gave her a quick tour of our new digs here.
What'd she think?
She was like, "Oh my god!" She said, "Oh my god!" about 15 times, and and she obviously, because when you first come here to the facility, now I know my way around easily. I didn't know where the hell I was. I was like OB. I had no clue where that. Adam gave me the tour. The first person that I saw when I came through one of the doors, and I didn't even come through the front door. I tried to get in when I first came up here. I tried to get into the Tribune Media across the hall. I was like, why is my card not working? What's happening? And I didn't know where the other doors led to. And at that point, when I first came over here, our lobby wasn't really a lobby yet. It was just because I was coming over here early to move stuff over and, and check out the space. And Adam gave me the full tour. And I still, when we were done, I was like, I have no idea how to get out of here. Now I have no idea where I'm going. But it's kind of a maze in here. But anyway, she freaked out. So it's her first time in the facilities, and she's waiting in the PPG Paints green room, and she was freaking out about the PPG Paints green room because it's all Halloweened out, and when you walk in, the lights automatically motion sensor go on, and the view is amazing, and the furniture is amazing. She's like, my god. So she's in the PPG Paints green room right now, and we're going to bring her in. So why don't we take a break, Dan, and we'll bring in Jen Bosworth fresh from the PPG Paints green room right here on WGN, and we'll get going. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. Oh, wait, I got to reach over here for a second. Hold on.
Okay. Because
I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
I want to use these here in a second.
All right. Got to get yours situated. Hi.
It's we're back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's 2 for Tuesday. Get your requested now. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200, one artist, two songs. And that other voice that you hear is Jen Bosworth, my good friend. Been on this radio station many times.
Yes.
And been on my show many times.
Many times.
But it's been way too long.
It's been way too long. And I keep getting, now that I posted on Facebook that I was going to be on, and everyone is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Everyone's very excited.
And
I'm
excited. You came bringing gifts, and they were Halloween themed gifts.
Yes.
And I forgot to bring in Fartenstein.
I saw them in your fancy office.
I have an office now.
Okay. It's fancy. This place is so fancy.
They did a pretty great job, didn't they?
I mean, this is like the Ritz over here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of square footage here. I mean, this whole floor.
I got the entire
18th floor. Yeah. First time I came in here, I had no idea.
It's beautiful.
It is. They did a beautiful job with it, and yeah, I mean.
But I did, and I noticed, what is it, Fartula?
No, you're thinking of the cereal.
Oh, sorry.
It's Count Fartula.
Count Fartula.
And Fartenstein.
And Fartenstein.
I'll bring them in. They'll join us after the news.
Okay, good.
But you brought in a little toy, because you know how much I love Halloween.
Yep.
And it's Fright in a Can.
Yeah, and you press the little button.
And it does say, here.
Which kind of sounds like you.
Yeah, it does.
A little bit.
But it has different sounds, right?
Six scary sounds. That's how my husband Miles probably hears me every night.
How's Miles?
He's great. He's sleeping. He's still earning the doubloons.
Okay.
He's the only one earning doubloons, but you know, I'm getting up there. I have one or two doubloons a week.
Yeah. Miles is the one who's responsible for you listening to my show.
Miles is in love with you.
He's a big fan, I know.
He's a huge fan.
He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's responsible. Okay. That's like a more elevated witch.
Yeah.
That witch is really excited. A rusty something.
The hell was that?
It was like a trumpet gone wrong.
Storm?
Now we're getting into poltergeist material.
The hell was that?
I don't know. That one is really scary. That one we know.
That's a scream.
That's a scream.
That's me again.
That's you again.
And then you brought...
And then the other one is very similar.
The Halloween sound machine.
Yeah. It's just this... It's like the Three Stooges, basically. It's just saying.
Creepy door.
Oh.
Werewolf.
Werewolf.
Drunk.
Drunk.
Owl.
Owl. A screamer.
Scream. There's the.
I think it's a standard
same, I
witch.
I think it's the same witch.
Yeah, they use the same witch. That I love.
Wow.
That one is great. Piano. That one you could reuse over and over.
Wow.
Someone says something.
One more.
That's a violin. They all sound like Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Sound effects.
Sound effects.
Anyway,
well, thank you for that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'll bring in Fartenstein and Count
Fartula. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. So what the hell? What have you been up to?
You know, I was going to tell you, I took up this weird thing called exercising.
Oh. No, I'm not familiar.
You once said, and I remember, you're like, yeah, you know, I get winded rolling over in bed.
Yeah.
And I could relate. No, but I did. I started trying. You know, I'm 43. It's time to, you know, you got to
move. You just
had
a birthday, though, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Libra Nation.
Happy birthday.
I don't know what that means.
Libra Nation.
I don't know. I started saying
that. Is it a gang? A street gang?
You know what? I'm in a gang called Libra Nation Fat and Sassies. The Fat and Sassies. My grandma, I used to say, Grandma, how you doing? She'd say, I'm fat and sassy.
Ah.
So that's the gang I'm in.
That's the gang you're in.
I started running. It's crazy. Running is horrible.
It is. Yeah.
Have you ever run? Did you
just to catch a cab or something?
No. And in high school,
I did.
Did they make you run in high school?
Well, when I first got to Luther,
did you do cross country?
I did. And the reason why is because. I'm still a relatively small guy.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8", and I was even smaller when I was 14 years old when I was going to high school. So football was out of the question.
Okay.
But the thing is, I this was a school that I was going to where I knew no one.
Oh.
All of my friends from my public school
went to
Lane,
right,
or Lakeview.
Right.
And all of the people that I hung out with, 90% of the people that I hung out with, were burnouts who would eventually be thrice divorced and unemployed and drunk.
Right.
Which I turned out to be two, right, out of three of those.
Right. That's okay.
But anyway, my parents were like, no, you can't hang out with these people anymore.
Cause
we're going to send you. Yeah. They were like, we're going to send you to a different school. And so we found Luther North and I liked it, but I was still like mad about not having any friends. And so one of the people when I went to tour in the summer of 79, when I went to tour at Luther North, you know, to get to know the facilities, right, and stuff, one of the counselors there said, you know, you should maybe try out for a sport because, you know, it'll be fun.
You'll meet people.
Be great. You'll meet people and
what?
You'll know the school before anybody else does. Because
see, that's smart.
Yeah. So I joined cross country. And I started practicing and at Luther
before
for cross country
started
2.5 weeks before school started. So by the time the orientation day came, I knew the school backwards
smart.
And forwards.
That was a smart counselor.
Yeah, a very smart counselor. So but that's the only reason I took cross country, and I only did it the freshman year, and then I did no sports at all for the rest.
Okay, well,
of the time. I played baseball.
That's enough run. You did.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I played a little bit in high school, just 1 year in high school.
We learn all about you.
And then, and this isn't even turned the tables on Nick yet.
I got some questions, good questions.
Yeah, because when Jen is here, she always, we do this thing where she turns the tables on.
Do you move studios? Do you still have the news thing? Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
No, that's okay.
You wouldn't have to look for it. Dan, we'll have to look for the breaking news bulletin.
Yeah, we'll find it.
No, I think we have it. It's got, because we were looking for Dan. We were scanning through some old sound bites,
it?
And we found some other ones.
Oh, okay.
That we couldn't find before.
Yeah, because my segment has its own.
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's the
breaking news.
We do have this.
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
We'll find it.
We'll find it. I'm not worried.
Okay. We have to break, okay?
Great.
All right. And Jen Bosworth is here. And you have a brand new thing that you're doing here.
I'm doing some stuff.
And we're going to talk all about it. We'll find out. We'll catch up with Jen and Fartula and Fartenstein will be here, too, in the next segment. All right. Well, let's take a break. The news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720. And we're back here in Allstate Skyline studio here. And I'm really happy to have my friend Jen Bosworth back in studio with us.
Yay!
We're going to hang out this morning.
I'm super excited to be here.
We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Two for Tuesday. Get your request in now. It's 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in now. We'll play them later. We're going to be talking about TV shows that feature really unlikable characters.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about the fact that The Price is Right is coming to Chicago.
What?
Yeah, sans Drew Carey.
Oh.
But it's Price is Right live at the Chicago Theater.
I haven't liked him since he got thin.
Yeah, I always prefer my comedians fat.
Like a more round version. Yeah, yeah. But look who's in studio.
Look who's here. Look who.
Trick or treat.
That's Fartenstein.
I love the laugh at the end.
Count Fartula.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
Oh, my gosh.
So they'll be joining us periodically throughout the morning.
I mean, how long have you had those, guys?
Oh, my God.
Yeah? Yeah, a long time? Like,
yeah.
Because last time I was here around Halloween about 4 years ago.
No, I've had them longer than that.
And you had them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I don't know if you know this, the rebuilding of Fartenstein.
No.
Okay, Adam Phillips, who is one of our great engineers here.
Okay, yeah.
Idea is these things are, and people who might not know, they're plush. They're little plush dolls.
Little plush guys, yeah.
Little plush dolls, and when you squeeze their finger, they fart.
Yes,
and they make wacky comments, and they shake because the fart is so strong that they actually.
I did not know.
No, they vibrate. Yeah, they vibrate.
Oh my God.
So like if they're sitting on a shelf and they fart, they vibrate.
Pretty amazing.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Fartenstein. I went one night to squeeze his finger.
No fart. Sans fart.
But Adam, our engineer here, said, let me take care of it. Rewired the whole thing.
No.
Added a button that I could press and wire it through his chest.
That one rattled my bolts.
Oh. So he literally is Dr. Fartenstein.
He is.
Because he brought him back to life.
That is fantastic.
Yes. So,
oh my gosh.
So I had him long enough to have Fartenstein fixed. I don't know what happened. So
he's been refurbished.
I've had him a very long time.
I'm glad they're here.
You know, for what was it, Dan? It was about a week into October. I hadn't brought him out yet, and the listeners were like,
yeah.
"Hey,
yeah,
we're a Fartenstein account for," and they also want the screaming dude because we have to go through the spooky sound CD.
Oh,
you familiar with the spooky sound scene?
Yes, I am.
Where the guy going, for 2.5 minutes. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I imagine those actors just having to do that. It'd be kind of fun.
I think it was just one dude in a garage.
Oh.
Just screaming. That's how I pictured it. It was a real low rent thing.
But we go through
the scary. Yeah, we go through the scary sound CD.
And you love Halloween.
It's my favorite. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, and like you can always find a scary movie on cable throughout the entire month.
Yeah.
Of October.
Yeah,
I showed Phantasm for my film club last week. The original Phantasm.
What I'm coming in. I'm going to go in November.
You're going to come to Longest Yard.
I'm going to start doing film club again.
Awesome.
Longest Yard.
You and Miles are coming out. Okay. Yeah.
I love film club.
It's the best.
Busy.
It's awesome.
But my question is, do you consider Jaws a scary movie?
I do. I think it's an adventure movie.
I saw it two nights ago.
Wait. For the first time?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, God.
That monologue.
The Indianapolis monologue?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I cry, and was he really drunk during?
Loaded.
Okay.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
Was a legendary souse. A legendary souse. That man drank a lot of booze. He showed up when they were filming the monologue, the Indianapolis monologue.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was crap-faced. Like, he was gone.
He couldn't.
So Spielberg set up three or four different cameras, which is unusual in tight vicinity because it takes place inside the boat underneath
the cabin.
Like a booth.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're singing and all that.
Yeah. And so he set up four cameras. And now the monologue itself, you know, legend is that Shaw just came in and winged it or wrote it. John Milius, who doesn't have a writing credit, and Carl Gottlieb, who has the writing credit for adapting. It's a combination of things. Some people say that it was absolutely Shaw. Like, Shaw came in and did that. And some people say it was a combination of Milius and Shaw.
Okay.
And that's what I believe. Because John Milius, that's something that John Milius is the guy, you know, wrote and directed Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
He co-wrote Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, it was mingled.
Wrote and directed Red Dawn. This is the kind of guy we're talking about. Yeah. So he would write something
exactly.
like that. But that was that the take that you see in the movie
was the one.
Which is one of the greatest monologues.
One of the greatest.
Of all time.
I mean, it makes me cry. And it's not even. He's so good.
And that was that take that you see.
Yeah.
He was loaded and immediately when he finished, passed out on the table.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
That is brilliant.
It's amazing.
I mean, we watched that movie and then because of that, tonight we also watched one of my favorite movies of all time, the original Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Oh, that's a great Robert Shaw, man. You're doing some Robert Shaw work.
I'm really interested because I'm writing in good monologues. And he has some good monologues. And he doesn't really have any in Taking Pelham 1-2-3, but his whole he's a brilliant actor.
He's a great actor.
I don't know what else he's done. I gotta look
him up. Sting.
Oh, right.
Why am I blanking?
I don't know, but he must not have lived very long.
He died young.
Because he drank so much.
I think he was in his 50s when he died.
But Jaws, okay, so you do consider Jaws like a scary movie.
I do.
It's not a Halloween movie, but it's...
No, I mean, but it's scary.
Oh, it's
and
scary.
And it freaked people out enough when it came out that they wouldn't even go swimming in the lake.
That is...
Like, seriously, you know, there were people in Chicago going, I'm not going to Lake Michigan.
Right.
There are no sharks in Lake Michigan.
I know, but the one goes in the pond.
Well, that's true.
He's in the pond.
They have this thing that they do during the summer in different parts of the country where they put a big screen out in the water and you can sit like on flotation devices and lounge chairs.
That's going to be a hard pass.
On the water with your legs in the dangling. And watch Jaws.
Yeah. You've got to be insane. I mean, there were so many jump scares still that Miles and I were jumping around.
Well, the decapitated head coming out from the...
That's what Miles that's the remembers one that, from his childhood.
That's the one that just... And Spielberg threw that in at the last minute. They had already done some preview screenings, and he's like, I think we need something scary here. So they did the whole... When Hooper is digging the tooth out of the sunken ship...
The head pops.
The head pops out.
The old guy.
That was not in the original cut.
Why do you think it is that it's so believable, even though it was back in the day, and that shark we all know is fake? There is... Who cares? It's still scary.
The thing about that was one of the things... That was a blessing in disguise for that movie was the technical difficulty with that shark.
Okay.
Because they called him Bruce.
Okay,
They named the shark Bruce. And it was a mechanical shark. It was 25 feet long. It was an actual working mechanical shark. And it just malfunctioned constantly.
Oh, man.
It would.
Really?
Like, constantly. So Spielberg, whose initial plan was to unveil the shark early in the movie and show him a lot... had to completely change that.
I did not know that.
And not reveal the shark about two-thirds less than he wanted to. And the result is brilliant.
Brilliant. Because you're like, what in the world?
Yeah. So he had to do that because the shark kept malfunctioning.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, but...
So you love the film.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
We made the mistake of watching Jaws 2.
No.
What is going on?
No, don't watch any of the other Jaws movies.
The dialogue is like, what is happening?
Jaws 2 is not horrendous. The other two are. Jaws 3D is unwatchable. And Jaws the Revenge.
Is that where the shark follows them to the Caribbean,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah. This time it's personal. That was the the shark was personally chasing after Lorraine Gary.
Right.
Yeah. And at one point in the movie, it is such an awful movie. It's so funny. Michael Caine's in it.
Oh.
And so they asked Michael Caine, you know, they're like, you know, you've made a lot of some of the movies that you choices that you made. Can you explain why you did Jaws the Revenge? He goes, I needed an addition on my house, and I spent 2 months in Jamaica.
There you
go. And I'm like, okay. And he didn't lie about it. He's like, that's exactly why I did it.
Right.
At one point in the movie, he jumps in the water. And he jumps in the water and he's in the water and he comes back out, gets back on the boat.
Yeah.
And then the next shot, dry clothes.
Oh, my God.
It's like they
don't even try.
It's brilliant continuity.
They're like, forget it.
So, okay, you were watching movies with great monologues.
Yes.
Okay. And tell everybody what's going on, what you're doing now.
My life has sort of become many things, but one of them is writing. So I still audition and, you know, but acting's for the birds. It really is. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just you have no control. So I said, I'm going to start. I mean, it is.
No, you're right.
It's just for the birds. The other day, theater's for the birds. I know I shouldn't say that, but it's so much work and commitment for $2.
You're 43 now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
So it was right around that age when I started going, all right. Yeah. You know, when I was in my 20s and my 30s, I was like,
40-hour days.
This is fantastic. This is great. I'm loving it.
We're bonding.
As I got into, you know, like around the age that you are at now, I was like, I can't. And I just kept, you know, delegating things to do when I was directing stuff to the young ones that wanted to do it. Like, I'm 22, I'll paint for four hours for free. I'm like, do it.
Go ahead. That's how I get emails, you know, and bless their hearts. Hey, Jen, can you play this role 10 hours or, you know, a week? $25 a week? Yeah. I just started laughing hysterically. So I decided, okay, well, if I'm not going to be paid, I might as well do something super fun, like write.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written the solo show that you saw.
Yeah.
And I loved writing. And I thought, okay, well, most writing is terrible that I see. I mean, a lot of it is terrible. And I thought, well, if I'm going to complain, I might as well start writing. So I started writing. And I started writing monologues for people because they couldn't find good monologues to do for auditions. I had a 55-year-old woman who was a brilliant actor, but she said that, you know, she'd been doing a monologue from Gwyneth Paltrow's Sliding Doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, we are not going down this path. So I'm writing monologues for people based on them. and they get a lot of response. And I'm shocked.
That's great. So you, what's the process then?
So
you
get,
you
them.
Interview them? And,
yes.
Yeah.
So I'll sit down with somebody and I'll say, hey, what do you want this monologue to be about? Like, who are you? And I use my, cause I was a therapist, you know, at social mm-hmm. services for years, and I'll ask them questions and they'll tell me, and then I'll go away and write, and then I give it to them and they pay me, and it's real great.
And now, have you had success rates? Have people
yes.
have people done well with
yes.
it? Yes.
Yeah. So people, then they will go, I'm in sort of in business with Robin Coffin. So she's an acting
I love
coach.
Her. Yeah.
She says hi and sends her love.
Yep.
She loves you. And she said, and so she's like, listen, I'm coaching these people that are using monologues they shouldn't be using. She's like, can I send them to you? I'm like, yes. And then I send them back to her to get coached, and then they become famous.
That's great.
And then I buy my edition on my house, which I don't have.
It's
house.
Like Michael Caine.
Yeah.
So if there are actors and actresses out there right now who are like, hey, I would like that service
oh.
to where how can they contact you?
You can just email me at jenwrites@gmail.com.
jenwrites@gmail.com.
It's easy peasy. That's my Gmail for my writing stuff. I'll write you a monologue. It'll cost you.
Yeah. Well, you got to pay for
it's
it.
It's not
a free service.
No, I'm done volunteering.
Yeah, I understand.
Mean,
so, but now, you know, when you watch something like that monologue that Robert Shaw has in Jaws, does that
yes.
inspire you?
Yes, because what happens is I'm like, why is that good? Partially, it's good because he's loaded and he doesn't care. So, you know, he had no inhibition.
Yeah.
You know, he was like. But
also, it's, you know, it really happened like that.
Right.
That's true.
So he's, right.
Yeah.
So what I do, too, is take events from these people's lives that have happened and turn it into a monologue.
That's,
so it's super fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. All right, I want to talk more about this. We have to break, though.
Great.
Okay. I also have a couple of suggestions for movies with great monologues in them that you should see. So, all right, let's take a break. Jen Bosworth is here. And again, jenwrites@gmail.com if you're interested in using her service. We'll take a break. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. My friend Jen Bosworth is here.
Yay!
It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday! 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now, and we'll play them a little bit later on. And we were talking about how... you create custom monologues.
Yeah,
for
you know,
actors
I realized
and actresses.
I gave you the wrong email, which is not good.
Okay,
it's Jen Bosworth writes.
Oh, I have that. Dan gave me that information.
Oh,
and I guess I chose.
I said it wrong.
Oh, you said it wrong.
Yeah,
so it's not my fault.
It's a real fly by night operation.
It's
got
Jen Bosworth writes at gmail.com.
You got it.
Jen Bosworth writes at gmail.com.
That's it. Because if you do Jen writes, you could get I don't know.
Yeah.
Some weird personal ads.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Which would be kind of fun
yeah,
to write for people.
That could add to your interview experience.
Yeah.
Jen Bosworth writes at gmail.com.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it about just not very long, like 6 months maybe. Mm-hmm. I started like thinking, oh my gosh, I see so much. And also I'm writing a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I complain a lot about bad theater, bad art. I love to complain, which is fine. But then you got to do something about it. And so I'm like, well, let me start writing. It's fascinating.
What is your screenplay about, or would you rather not?
No, I could tell you.
Yeah.
It's Junebug meets Terms of Endearment, except with a way less weird white people. That's how I pitched it. I was in L.A. actually pitching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I pitched it like that. And everyone either laughs or looks at me like, oh, my, you need help.
Yeah.
But I love Junebug. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant movie.
Yep.
Some good monologues in there. And then I love Terms of Endearment.
So do I.
So it's, but you know, the younger executives have no idea what I'm talking about with Terms of Endearment.
Come
and
on.
They should. No, they don't. They're like, is that? And they get it mixed up with Ordinary People. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
I know. Ordinary People. There's a movie with some good monologues.
Amazing.
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland has a scene in that movie.
Which
where
one?
He. He's really sad. He comes home. He's in the garage, and Mary Tyler Moore comes out, and he has it's a dialogue scene, but it's mostly him talking,
mm-hmm.
so it's mostly monologue. And it's about how he couldn't believe how concerned she was with what color shirt he wore to their son's funeral.
Oh, yeah, it makes me cry just thinking about
that movie.
I cried and cried.
I mention this every time we talk about Ordinary People. It's a great. I love that movie. First movie Robert Redford ever directed.
That's right.
Mary Tyler Moore got nominated. Timothy Hutton got nominated and won. Judd Hirsch got nominated. Donald Sutherland did not.
Why?
I don't know. It's the best performance in the movie.
He's my favorite in the movie.
Oh, by far. And everybody's great in it. The thing about that is, it's by far the best performance in a movie filled with really exceptional performances.
Yeah, he was the best by far.
He's unbelievable.
He has some great, great, great monologues.
You know what movie has a lot of great monologues?
Which one?
My favorite movie of all time, Magnolia.
It does. I haven't seen that in a while.
First of all, it's got the extraordinarily crazy long Jason Robards regrets monologue.
Right.
Melora Walters has a couple of good monologues in that one, too.
True.
There's a lot of... You go back and watch that one. That's rich with people yapping for a long time.
Yeah. It's a three-hour situation,
three
right?
hours and 12 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. But that's your favorite movie of all time,
all
right?
All time, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just crazy.
Find something?
Yeah, I don't know. I just love it. But yeah. I'm trying to think of a... I was trying to think
Well,
of
do you know... You know, that's P.T. Anderson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a little P.T. Anderson story for
you. Uh-oh. Oh, well, so you have to tell me now.
He dated Fiona Apple.
Yes.
Okay.
dedicated that movie to her.
Okay. So apparently, this is when I lived there.
When you were working for Nick Cage.
Well, I was working for Nicolas Cage. And, you know, rumors, they're like, did you hear what happened at Spiaggia or whatever last night? I'm like, what? And they're like, Fiona Apple stabbed P.T. Anderson in the hand with a fork. Because he cheated on her. And that was the big news. And I bet she did. She's a little nuts. She's a little nuts.
I'll tell you, that doesn't surprise me.
No, I like her and she's crazy.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
She's crazy. But anyway, so that's your favorite. Yeah, apparently stabbed him.
We mentioned that people might not know. You worked for Nicolas Cage.
I did. For 7 years, I worked for Nicolas Cage, the Academy Award. Hey, he has a new movie that looks insane.
I saw it.
Was it?
No, it's great.
It really is. It Mandy? What's it called?
Mandy.
Mandy, right?
Oh,
it's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it crazy?
Completely.
And part of I think it was filmed here. Like, or no?
No.
No. Okay.
Let me just say this.
Okay.
He totally cages it.
Okay.
At some point in the movie,
I know what you mean exactly.
It's just part of the insanity of the entire movie. So you know how a lot of movies that Nicolas Cage
does.
Yeah,
he's like in a different movie.
He's like insane.
Yeah.
And the movie, you know, he's just doing stuff crazy.
Right.
For like no reason.
He's just crazy.
He's just crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of his movies have done that. This Correct. Is a movie that's crazier than he is.
How is that even possible?
I loved it.
Is it out?
It's on VOD. It is making a ton of money on the independent circuit. Like, it played to sold-out houses at the Music Box.
I had no idea.
Yeah. It was out about 3 weeks ago, Dan, when we reviewed it 3 weeks
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. And it's on, but it's on video on demand. It's on VOD. That's how I watched it, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and I was like, oh, boy.
Do you feel like you're on drugs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No. It's an insane movie.
It looked insane, the
trailer.
It's
completely insane. And then there. Let me just say this.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage, at his craziest, chainsaw fight.
What?
Yeah, I think that's all you need to know.
That is insanity. Chainsaw fight?
Yeah.
I don't even know how you have a chainsaw fight. Well, they do.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Does he have it with a human? Another human?
Well, no, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just him.
No, it's not just him with a chainsaw running around. No. Although he does, there are many moments in the movie where he's covered completely in blood.
I was gonna say he's bloody, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
But you know what? Good for him. Might as well just be crazy in a crazy movie.
Yeah.
Versus because sometimes you watch his movies lately and you're like, he's in another film.
Yeah.
Like all these people are in, you know, I don't know, Officer and a Gentleman, and he's in, you know, Tootsie or something. I don't know, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he every once in a while.
Yep.
He'll do a movie and you go, he's a good
Joe.
Actor. Joe is the perfect example.
It's
he's great
such
in that
a good movie.
He's, and he's great in it.
Oh, it's a beautiful
And
film.
He's actually really good in Mandy. It's a crazy movie, but he's good in it. It's like a good crazy performance.
Isn't that amazing how people can just pop up and be normal? Or not normal, but good crazy?
After making so many crappy movies. I was watching, you know, you can go down that wormhole when you're on YouTube and just watch video after video. And there is Vanity Fair does this thing. I think it's Vanity Fair. Maybe GQ. GQ does this thing where they have actors talk about their iconic roles.
Oh.
So they go through like their whole career. And they're usually 15, 20 minutes long. Like, yeah. I just watched the one with Jeff Bridges because he's my favorite actor.
Yeah, he's your favorite.
But they ridiculously omitted both The Fisher King and Fearless. I don't know. He talked about a bunch of other great movies that he was in and performances.
Maybe some legal thing.
I don't know. But
all I know is you introduced me to Fearless, and I was not prepared, and it's the most beautiful thing.
Did you, when you looked in my office, did you see the 8x10 that you gave me?
Yes.
Is in my office?
I did not see that, but no, I know I gave it to you. And also, just that scene in the plane when they're dancing and the music and they're dying. And it's, anyway, if people have not seen Fearless, it's one of the best movies ever.
It is. I agree.
Yep.
Okay. Hang on. You're going to hang out with us. It's Jen Bosworth. We're going to take a break for the news coming up after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Hear me? Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We'll play them later. We are going to talk about TV shows that are populated with really unlikable characters, and we are going to talk about... but The Price is Right coming to Chicago.
What does that mean? It comes. They're just here for a day.
They tour, and it's one day. I think it's at night. Maybe they do two nights.
Is it at a? Like,
it's at the Chicago Theater.
I'm going to show up dressed as a pickle
and
try to get on there. I'm going to try to get on there.
I think you might be thinking of Let's Make a Deal.
Oh.
Let's Make a Deal is where you got to dress up.
Oh, what if I just went to Price is Right?
With a pickle?
As a pickle.
Yeah, it might be okay.
I might work. Anyway,
might work.
So they come to the Chicago.
And I can't remember who the host is. It's a guy. I think it's Todd Newton.
Who's Todd?
Hey, Todd Newton. I'm Todd Newton.
Oh,
how's it
no.
going, man? I'm Todd Newton.
Couldn't they get someone else, like a local?
Do you remember Todd Newton, Dan?
Whoops.
I'm Todd Newton. That was kind of like he was like a one of the he's like a E entertainment reporter kind of
guy.
And he was like on he was always on the red carpet going, "Hey, here's Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, I'm Todd Newton." and I think it's Todd Newton. Well, you know, when they used to do some of the game show things when they would tour.
Yeah.
He was kind of a go-to. He was one of those, you know, sort of generic.
Oh, like the other guy who
like
did
a Seacrest guy,
the Nickelodeon guy who does all those. Do you know that guy who did
Double Dare?
Yeah,
that's why am I blanking on his name?
I don't know. He has OCD.
Mark Summers.
Yeah, Mark Summers.
Yeah, Mark Summers.
He did every game for a while.
He's a big hot shot with the Food Network.
What?
Oh yeah. He went in. He was on the ground level.
He had shows about like how food was made.
Unwrapped was one of his shows. He is executive producer
of the whole deal.
He's responsible for Paula Deen's career.
What?
Oh yeah. No. He got in on the ground level at Food Network. It was like
he's not just a Double Dog Dare.
No. That's nothing. Now, he's not making his money there. He went back to Double Dare, I think, for nostalgia purposes.
Because he was touring.
His money comes from Food Network.
You never know.
Oh, no. He's
Paula
like,
Deen. I like butter.
Yeah. And Earl. I like Earl. Put some Earl in it.
Put some Earl.
But so what they do is they bring in like a local, you know, schnook, like, hey, who talks like that. And then he hosts it, but they bring all the classic games in. Like, you can get up on stage and play Plinko.
You just go
to the show, buy tickets,
and then you pick your ticket. If they pick your ticket,
if they call your name, you come on down.
I'm gonna go on down.
Yeah, I don't know if the Dan, be prepared. That's gonna be on Friday morning show.
I already emailed him.
Vic already emailed that one in. So there you go. You're gonna hear that one on Friday morning.
Oh no. between that and the pickle.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, so
you just show up, you pay, I don't know how much it is to get in, you buy a ticket, it's probably like $25 or something, you buy a ticket, and you're there.
It might be fun.
No, I'm sure it's going to be a blast.
Oh, I might do it.
And then like you can, what if you get up there and you get the yodeling idiot?
What's that?
The yodeling idiot who,
goes up the mountain
and then falls and dies, you kill him?
I'm not good with prices.
No, and prices? Then you might not want to be on the prices right.
That's probably not my game.
I want to go to the Price is Right, but I'm not good with prices.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny?
Yeah.
Is when they have like celebrity prices, right? And they have to like guess how much groceries are.
They're like,
How much is a six pack of Coca-Cola? $23. Because they don't do their shopping. They don't do their shopping. People don't know how much is this fabric softener? $73.
The other thing is, yeah, I shop a lot at the Dollar Tree, and everything's a dollar.
It's so easy to remember.
How much is this? A dollar?
Dollar. You know what was really funny? Yeah. Did you ever see the footage? This is online, Dan. Bill Gates was on Ellen, okay? And have you seen this footage, Dan?
No.
Bill Gates was on Ellen, okay. And they were doing like a Price is Right thing with Bill Gates, and he was going to win money for a person in the audience, for a contestant in the audience. And so he had to guess the prices, and it was exactly what I was saying. Bill Gates? Bill Gates has never bought a grocery in his life.
No, he has like a staff
never
of 40.
Stepped into a grocery store in his life.
Right.
Never did a piece of laundry in his life.
Fabric softener, please.
Or washed a dish.
He probably doesn't know what they are, fabric softeners.
Exactly.
What?
So, and this was really, like, I watched it on YouTube. I watched the video of this on YouTube of him trying to figure out how much these things cost. It was unbelievable.
Like he had no clue.
No, oh my God, not even remotely close on, like, he had taco shells and stuff like that.
He was probably like $30.
I don't know, $22. And Ellen was just like really like seriously, man. I mean, and the audience was booing, and they were trying to help him out higher or lower. They were trying to help him out. But whenever they have those celebrity sort of things where the celebrities have to guess how much the prices are, I always find it endlessly amusing.
Yeah, it's really.
But no, I'm sure it's going to be fun. You should go dress as a pickle.
I might. I might just go. You know, one time, speaking of prices, one time we went out for Christmas at the Nick Cage Ranch, and not his ranch. We went for sushi, and we were eating, and I was tasked with paying the bill, not with my own money, but
with his money.
Do you want to know how much? I was just telling someone this. We were at a place with sushi. With Kobe beef for the hang.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we're eating, and at the time I really drank, and everyone really drank. And it was 10 of us, and I got the bill, and it was $7,000.
Oh, my God.
I said, is this for a car? Did I just buy a... That's a car. That's how much my Toyota costs.
By the way, the production features a rotating series of hosts, including Todd Newton and Mark Summers.
We were both right.
Hey, I'm Todd Newton. You know, Todd Newton hosted the new version of Whammy.
Oh, my God.
Because they had the Pressure Luck from the 80s.
Yes. Oh, I remember.
And then they rebooted it in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was called Whammy. I'm Todd Newton. Welcome to Whammy. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a weird career to have.
Yeah. Well, when you talk like that guy, I don't know.
DJ.
Yeah. No, those are the kind of gigs you're a Seacrest guy. That's like you're a Seacrest clone.
You're following and you're trying to get to where Seacrest is. What happened to Seacrest?
Well, he's got 43 jobs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And listen, that guy, he's on with, isn't he on with Kelly now? In the morning, he's on the morning show with Kelly.
Yes. Yeah. He does radio.
Listen, again, this is a guy that
he got in on the ground floor.
American Idol. He was still doing American Idol.
He was the host.
And
he's a producer now, right?
Listen, you want to talk about another guy who doesn't have to work?
What?
He is responsible for the whole Kardashian thing on E. Yeah.
Look. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, he's the producer of and they have 20 Kardashian shows on E.
I know.
And he makes money off of all of them.
They have the Kardashian sisters, cousins, brothers
idiots
that works at the deli.
I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. Well, they're attractive people.
Yeah.
Some of them.
So yeah. So yeah, Price is Right. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. You're going to go down there and
I'm going to go and dress as a pickle and see if I can get on the Price is Right
and play some Plinko. Plinko, that's always the fun one.
What is Plinko?
That's where it's the giant board where you have a disc.
I love that one.
And you drop it and it falls into a category.
I would
where
like to win the jet ski.
Yeah.
There's always a jet ski.
There's
going
a jet
on.
Ski. There's always a vacation.
A vacation.
Yeah, that like there's always, and then that gets the excuse to have the models in bikinis and stuff.
Are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, they have there's a dude on there. And they get him all shirtless and stuff, and he shows grills.
I guess they're trying to
get
a grill.
Yeah, yeah.
Naked Sully grill.
You know, the thing is that that usually indicates my bedtime is when I'm watching Price is Right. I'm like, yeah, I got to go to bed.
What time is it on?
10.
Oh, you go to bed at 10, around there.
Around there. I usually I'll watch The Price is Right for a little while because I love to watch the yodeling dude fall off the mountain and die. It's my favorite thing. So I always wait, and then when I realize it's not, because it's always, that game is always up front. It's always one of the first.
Is?
Yeah, because it's one of the most popular games.
Oh.
So they try to get in the first half hour.
Yeah.
That's usually when it happens.
Is he literally called the idiot?
No. I think he's called the yodeling guy. I think that's
the mountain climber.
It's called Cliffhanger. I think Cliffhangers is what it's called. Cliffhangers.
Yeah, Cliffhangers.
That's the name of the game.
Okay, but he's the idiot yodeler.
I think Drew refers to him as the yodeling guy.
I wish they would call him the idiot yodeler.
Yeah, I call him something else.
Oh, let's not.
But I can't say it on the air.
Right. I think I can understand.
I can tell you what I call him. I call him the yodeling. All right, you know that TV show, the three-letter TV show with Catherine Bell?
What?
You know the TV show JAG?
Yes.
Remember the TV show JAG?
Yes, I know exactly.
Do you know what the opposite of on is?
I really do.
That's what I refer to.
I get
him
it.
As.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's a Chicago.
It's
a Chicago.
Very Chicago.
Oh, it's called Yodely Guy.
Oh my
Yodely
God.
Guy. That's what he calls him. That's what Drew calls him. Yodely Guy.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
That's what he did. Well, I watch it. It's my favorite.
You literally watch it.
It's my
all the
favorite
time.
Game on Price is Right.
You need to get that sound effect going on this.
You know what's really funny? Here's something that's. Let me really quickly aside.
Okay.
Jen, you know that I'm one of the hosts at Flashback Horror Convention.
I do.
Okay. And the guys who do the sound.
Yeah.
It's a husband and wife team.
Oh.
And he has another guy that works with him. His name is Sean. So he does the sound in the room where we do the Q&As.
Great. So the mics and all the...
Exactly. All the setup and everything. And he runs the board and the sound and everything. So, like, he'll play... He'll, you know, like, in between setups when we're clearing out the room to bring in another set of celebrities and a room, he'll play music. He'll usually play, like, spooky music or something like that. So it was right before when I was going up on stage to introduce Dana... My future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, and Ray Santiago. I was the moderator for their Q&A.
Okay.
Because they're both in Ash versus Evil Dead.
Right.
And so the person, one of the other hosts just finished up their Q&A and said, okay, Nick DiGilio is going to come up now and he'll do the Q&A for Dana and for Ray. And so as I start walking up, Sean is he follows me on Facebook and everything, and he knows me.
Yeah.
As I'm walking up, all of a sudden I hear over the PA, and he played the thing. And I turn around, I look at him, and he's like, ha, 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 I wanted to surprise you with that.
He likes you.
Yeah, and Don Johnston, who is the guy who basically is in charge of setting everything up technically-wise.
Yeah.
At the Crown Plaza, he works for the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Okay.
We call him the mayor of Rosemont.
Okay.
We just call him the mayor. He is also a big fan, and he and Sean got together, and he got the sound clip for
it. That is amazing.
Yeah, and it just cracked me up.
That's special.
Everybody in the room was like, what the hell are they playing this for? That's not scary. That's from The Price is Right.
Yep.
They just did it to surprise me.
Yay.
So, anyway, we'll see you at The Price is Right.
Yeah.
All right, Jen, hang on.
Okay.
All right, Jen Boschworth is here. We'll take a break, and we've got more with Jen coming up. We got Two for Tuesday coming up and much more. How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on 7. Having a little trouble with the headphones.
I don't know. I can't.
You can't put
so
them on?
Fancy. I don't know. I got a big head and they're small.
We've got these new headphones that are attached to every mic in both studios, and they are top of the line Shure headphones, and they are sponsored by Allstate. There's an Allstate logo on the side of them, and Jen is having a little difficulty putting them on.
They're really fancy. I'm used to, like, when I used to work here, I had one that was hanging off the other. I had to put them together every time. I'm kind of a low-tech kind of a gal.
Yeah. Well, now that we've got all these fancy schmancy studios here, they wanted to have the headphones, be as fancy and schmancy as the studio.
Yeah.
This is all new stuff.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
This studio looks like your old studio a little bit. Like, the setup is very similar.
That's why I'm in here.
Yeah, it's, like, very comforting, because if I was visiting in, a space-age Jetsons situation, I would really have a problem.
Yeah.
This feels, like, regular.
It does.
Better lighting than the other one.
Yeah.
Remember
Yeah, the lighting was a little off in that in the seventh. And one of the other things that was better, a little bit better about the seventh floor of the Trib building, even though it's set up almost exactly like the studio, There was a bathroom right there.
That's right.
Yeah. There was a bathroom 15 feet from where I sat.
Yeah. You drink a lot of water.
I drink a ton of water during the show.
A ton of water. Yeah. So, well.
No, I just got to walk down the hall. It's not that far.
No.
So.
Yeah. So I just really am loving hearing about all the flashback stuff. I loved hearing about it.
I love doing it. It's a blast.
It's always my favorite. One of my favorite episodes is your recap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
We had a pretty interesting recap this year.
Yeah.
Because at one point during an outdoor screening, the inflatable screen collapsed.
Twice, right?
Twice.
Yeah.
And the great Amanda Bierce from Married with Children.
She jumped out and saved the day. She's hilarious, too.
She's a really cool woman. She's very, very, very cool. So, but yeah, no, it was a really fun one.
It sounded great.
Yeah,
it sounded really great.
So, in addition to that, now since we last had you on the show,
yeah,
you actually did a show with my alma mater. You did a show with the factory.
Oh my gosh, that's right, I did.
Because it's been that long.
Oh my gosh,
it's been that long since you've been on the show.
You are right.
Tell me about your experience working with the factory.
Well, you know, they like to drink.
Yes,
I mean. I'm just saying, I don't drink, so it was it was interesting. Also,
yeah, it's one of the reasons I haven't seen those people in a very long time.
You know,
it
is a they are a nice rowdy bunch,
and they're wonderful,
wonderful,
and some of my best friends.
Yes,
I just can't be around.
It's an interesting thing. I had fun, and I also met some really great people, and I had a lovely time. I also am just getting older, and when you're young you can do a lot. I mean, when you're old you can do a lot of drinking too, but the damage is more severe. And so good for them.
So you did Fight City, right?
Yeah
And who'd you play in that?
I played the mother of the lead character, and I also played like some other bit characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the old lady basically.
Right.
And I loved it. And I didn't do any fighting. It was a big fight combat show. And I was like, oh no.
I'm not doing any combat.
No. I'll be sitting over here.
Yeah,
you tell me when you need me to
go on stage. That sounds exactly like what I'd want to do.
Yeah. So lovely
like
humans. I'm not a partier,
but
they you know, good for them. They've been doing this a long time.
25 years.
Yeah. They're still going.
It's they're entering their 26th season.
Oh my gosh.
And it's their next show is written by Manny Tamayo.
Really?
Yeah, Manny,
I like Manny a lot. He's good people.
He's a great person, man.
He's really good people.
Great.
So yeah, I was in that since I've been here, and I basically
Did you get any of the did you do any of the Chicago Dick Wolf shows?
I go in for the, you know, it's so funny. I go in for them all the time.
Yeah.
Never book it. And I booked Empire, you know.
You were on Empire. Yeah.
That was hilarious. Just hilarious and fun.
Did you work with Sarah in it?
No, I didn't work with Sarah. I worked with this Lucius's, the woman who plays Lucius's mother. Anyway, Terrence Howard's mother.
Yeah.
She was lovely. Everyone was lovely. I had a great time. The Dick Wolf shows, I go in for like office assistant number 1, 2, 3, 5,
right,
garbage
right.
woman, whatever. Never book it. But you know what? I'm telling you, it's for the birds.
Yeah.
You have no control. You just walk in, you're like, well, I guess I don't know if that was terrible.
Right.
I hope it wasn't.
Right.
But, and then you never hear.
Yeah.
And it gets so tiring.
Well, you know, my friend Mike View.
Yeah.
That's why he left L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's why you left L.A.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he, you know, he went out there thinking, okay, you know what? I'm doing really well here in Chicago.
He was on television.
He was on television. He booked a bunch of stuff.
Well,
this was after he moved back from L.A.
Oh, but even so, before he had done a
lot of theater, and he booked a bunch of commercials and stuff like that. And then he moved out to L.A. and he was out there 2000. He was there for 9 months.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, after you know, like not being happy.
Yeah.
He came home, loaded up his truck, and left.
Yeah.
Just left in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He still had 3 months left on his lease.
Yeah, he didn't care.
And he just left.
You can't take it sometimes.
No.
And so that's why I think you need something else, like writing.
Yeah.
Like, or something. I say tell people, take up crochet. I don't know. Do something besides just acting. I mean, some people can just act.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Jennifer Lawrence is doing an okay job for herself.
Yeah,
but most people need a hobby otherwise, or a second thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. You want to have some sort of backup plan when you're doing that. Because it can be really, I mean, it also could just be like, if you take it really, really seriously, it could be soul crushing.
It's also, nobody knows what they're doing. So they just pick you, they're like, she's got brown hair. Oh, she's too fat. Oh, she's too, it's like that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with talent.
That's true. All right, hang on, okay?
All right.
All right, Jen Bosworth is here. We're going to take a break. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5 a.m. We're going to be talking about TV shows that have really unlikable characters. We're going to be talking about Price is Right and more. Right now, though, we're hanging out with my friend Jen Bosworth. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and 2 for Tuesday requests. 312-981-7200. And you can also check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show and Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And Jen, welcome back.
Hey.
So are you currently working with a group of actors now with what you're doing with the monologues?
No, I mean, I've got people. I just get referrals, and then I work with them. The other thing that I'm doing that is pretty big is this screenplay.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know how to write a screenplay. And you know, there's a program on a computer called Final Draft that everybody knows. I could not work it. So I wrote my screenplay in pencil in 13 notebooks by hand.
Wow.
I'm one of those weird.
Yeah.
And then I had to transfer it into Final Draft. But I'm old. So to think and write in that program, I'm like, oh, no.
That's too much to ask.
So I have all these notebooks and I'm just like a weird old person. But I like writing my screenplay. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where, you know, it's, and didn't I give you a Magnolia screenplay?
Yeah.
Okay. A good screenplay is really short, to the point. Even Magnolia, it's like it moves, you know? So I've been reading screenplays and trying to figure out like what makes a good movie, you know? And that was one of my questions for you.
You know what? Let me tell you what I think is, a perfect screenplay.
Okay.
And it's a movie that no one really likes. Oh. And it's called The Ice Harvest.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it at film club.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Okay, you did.
It's so brilliant.
That is a perfect screenplay.
Yeah.
I think that is, as you said, it's streamlined. It's basic. It's well written. It's got great dialogue. It's got an interesting complicated situation.
Twists.
There are great twists. It's got a full arc. A great beginning, middle, and end. And it's
the end is really good.
The ending is really, really good. And it's one of those movies that there's not a thing wasted. And
no.
You know what else is another perfect screenplay?
What?
Back to the Future.
It is.
Perfect.
Okay, why do you think it's perfect? Just same reasons?
Reasons. It's everything it sets up is a payoff. There's not one extraneous thing. And that's something that is the case with everything that Zemeckis and Gale write.
Oh.
Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. They never waste anything.
Right.
Like everything, you know, everything means something. Even in Used Cars, which is a crazy comedy.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie, Manuel shows Rudy Russo a Polaroid picture and Russo goes, what is this? This is a picture of 250 cars. I can't do a deal with 250 cars. Later in the movie, they need 250 cars to take to the used car lot to make a mile of cars.
Yes.
So that little moment with the Polaroid pays off.
Comes back.
For the climax of the movie.
So it's details.
Yeah.
None of them are wasted.
No. The red car thing where the guy's superstitious, that comes to play.
Yeah.
The last car that they need to be on the lot, he finds out it's red, a red car. He freaks out and he's not going to drive it. And that becomes like a major moment
in the movie.
And at the beginning, it's just funny. It's like, oh, he's superstitious and it's a red car. That's just funny. But then it becomes a huge payoff at the end.
Right.
So the setup and the payoff is a huge thing. And nobody does it better than Zemeckis and Gale.
What is the last movie that
they made together?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Because his last movie, Zemeckis' last movie was Allied. Which was the spy thriller with Brad Pitt
I never saw it, but I know
nobody did.
Yeah,
okay. I liked it. His next movie looks amazing, though.
Which is?
It's called Welcome to Marwen, and it's with Steve Carell. It looks right. It's where he's like an artist, yes. And he has these little dolls that yes. represent him and his life.
Yes,
and it looks amazing.
Why didn't people like Ice Harvest?
Nobody saw it. Harold, the great Harold Ramis, directed that movie.
Yeah,
and but it just—I
think it's brilliant.
It's an unbelievably great movie, and I think it's like one of Cusack's best performances.
I think that's it for him.
And,
like that was
yeah.
his best.
So, but no, yeah. it's and I watch it every Christmas.
It's a great Christmas movie.
One of my favorite Christmas movies of
yeah.
all time.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob is amazing.
Connie Nielsen.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, a shot in the area. Dave Pasquazi's in it.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Dave's in it. And it's just great. And, you know, I mean, Harold Ramis, you know, I just think it's one of those movies that so criminally underrated.
I'm glad you showed. I wish we could see it again. On the big screen was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have a huge crowd for that one because nobody knew what it was. I'll tell you what was really amazing. I did a summer of Zemeckis. So it was Zemeckis Fest this
okay.
whole past summer. So at my film club. So
okay.
in May I did Used Cars. June I did Back to the Future.
Okay. You did Back to the Future twice, right?
Yeah.
This was the second time.
Okay. That was years ago.
Right.
So I did Used Cars, Back to the Future. In July I did Forrest Gump. In August I did his first movie.
Which is
I Want to Hold Your Hand, which he and Bob Gale wrote.
Oh.
And it's about these kids who go to New York and try to get into the Ed Sullivan Theater and the hotel rooms of the Beatles the night that they show up.
How do I not know about this?
Nobody knows about it, and it's brilliant. And it's really, really great. And it was Zemeckis' first movie as a director. Spielberg executive produced it. Gail and him wrote it. Nancy Allen's the lead.
Yeah.
Eddie Deason is in it, and it's great. And it's really, really funny. And nobody knows that movie, and we had a huge crowd for it. I was stunned at how many people came out for it. And enjoyed it, and how many people
That's
had never
so
seen
cool.
it, and so many people had never seen it before.
What's coming up? What are we watching in November?
Longest Yard.
Oh yeah, Longest
Yard with Bert, and then in December we're doing
our Christmas movie.
Bill Murray and Scrooged.
Oh,
so we're doing Scrooged, and I can't give details. I can tell you off the air.
Yeah,
but something special is going to happen along with that.
Great.
So anyway, now you have turned the tables on me. How many do you have? A lot of questions, or
I have like three questions, but they're, you know, you can make them as long or short as you want.
All right. Let's once again tell everybody how they can get involved with you, because you are now creating custom monologues for actors for auditions.
If you need a monologue, or if you need something for a presentation or help in any way with writing stuff, it's jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com.
JenBosworthWrites@gmail.com. The idea is that actors or actresses, performers come in, you talk to them, you get to know them.
And I write them a monologue. It could be 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever mm-hmm. you like. And it's a better way to be an artist, I'm telling you, performer.
Yeah. And then also we mentioned a little bit earlier, Robin Coffin, she does acting coach. She's an acting
coach.
Robin
Coffin is, yeah, a good friend of mine, and she's Coach Robin on Facebook, and she'll help you with your monologues. Yeah.
And she's a wonderful actress, and I've had the pleasure of directing her
a
couple of times.
She loves you, Nick.
I love her.
Yeah.
The feeling is absolutely mutual.
Yeah.
She's so talented.
She's so talented.
Yeah, she's good. People would know her from...
She's Cindy Herman on Chicago Fire.
Right. She's the wife of the guy from Sex and the City.
Yeah, that's how everyone.
That's
I don't even know his last name. Michael
Eisenberg.
Eisenstocker.
Eisenberg. Yeah.
Something.
The guy with the glasses from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
You know that guy?
He's
okay.
on Chicago
she,
Fire.
She Robin plays... is his wife
on a different show.
Yeah. So, on a different show, on Chicago Fire.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right, Jen, why don't we hang on?
Yeah.
We'll come out, and then we're going to switch the tables. I don't think we have your soundbite for the breaking news.
I feel sad. You'll have to use one of your...
I'll figure something
fartacula.
Out. Fartacula. Oh, you want...
yeah.
You want this guy to be...
Wasn't that shocking?
There you go. And then let's see if we get my favorite one from...
Okay.
Because my favorite one from Count Fartula is one that I hope we get right here.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
That's my favorite one. He listened. You know, Count Fartula knows me. He knows me. All right, Jen, hang on, all right?
Okay.
We'll turn the tables. Jen's going to ask me some questions right after we take a break here on WGN. Yeah. Yeah, man. Welcome back. Two for Tuesday coming up. Yeah. And that's one artist, two songs. Get your requests in now. We'll play them in a little bit. And after 3 o'clock, we're going to start talking about TV shows that have very unlikable characters. And we'll tell you why we're talking about that. And we'll open up the phone lines and texts to you. 312-981-7200. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. My friend Jen Bosworth is here.
Hello.
And if you need help with monologues for auditions and so on and so forth, she will create custom monologue for you. Just write jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com. jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com.
That's it. Happy to help.
So now, when you make your appearances here on the show, and they have to be a little bit more frequent,
they
by the
will.
Way.
Now they will. I have a little more time.
Okay,
before,
cool.
Before I was watching a lot of true crime. And okay, I'm just gonna cut back.
Yeah, I know you love that stuff.
Oh my gosh!
And so you usually turn the tables on me.
I do.
And you turn the tables on.
I get
Nick
a
D.
lot of requests.
Yeah, you get requests from listeners. I
oh,
guess. Yeah.
They're like, next time you're on, ask Nick. Blah blah blah. So okay. Now I'm gonna.
Well, so she's now going to ask me the questions.
Yep.
All right. And do we have a little sound bite?
Okay, it is now time for Turning the Tables on Nick DiGilio with Jen B.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. DiGilio.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite guest of all time?
Oh, man.
That you were just like, I can't believe this. It can be for any reason. It doesn't have to be because they're famous or anything, but like your favorite where you were like, this is amazing.
Jeez, that's tough because I have a few.
All right. Well, name the top.
All right. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, right.
Who is consistently fantastic on the show and has been a friend of the show for over 10 years.
Yeah.
10, 12 years.
And you, yeah.
He's every time he's good.
You can tell. You can tell. You can hear it, obviously.
He's great.
Yeah.
For a one-timer.
Yeah.
Andy Summers from The Police.
Oh. I didn't know you. What
oh,
was,
man. He was in studio. It was the first time I was ever nervous. He was in studio.
What was this?
2004, maybe?
Okay, right before I
Something
met you.
Like
okay.
That. I was and I did it in the showcase. I did the interview in the showcase studio at Tribune Building.
Yes.
And I stepped out to go to the bathroom. And when I came back in, he was sitting in the chair next to mine. And you don't understand. I mean, if I don't know if you know how much I love The Police.
Yeah, I do know.
Okay, so Andy Summers
oh
in
gosh.
Studio, and that was it was an amazing interview. And I did the interview with him, and I said, okay, I'm going to bring this up. I know it's never going to happen, but is there a chance that you guys could ever, you know, that The Police could ever reunite? And I know the answer is no. And he's like, well, I don't know, maybe. And that was the first time, and I had the exclusive. And then a year and a half later, they did the summer tour.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So that's up there.
That's a great one.
Dana DiLorenzo.
Oh yeah, your future.
My future ex-wife. Dana DiLorenzo is currently my favorite guest.
She's amazing. She's so dynamic,
and she's just nuts. Yeah. And like the energy level that she brings, to it, and she's so funny and so sweet and so talented. So she's like way up there right now.
Good. So,
I would have to go with Tobo as maybe the best guest that I have on a regular basis.
Okay, well, that's really good.
Yeah.
What was your? And I know listeners may know this, but like the hardest time on air where you were just like, this is so hard.
Oh, I can give you a few.
Okay.
All right. The night Roy passed away.
Right.
It was the hardest. He passed away. I found out that Roy passed away at 11 p.m.
Oh.
And I had to be on the air at 2. And Todd called me, you know, and said, you can stay home if you want to take the night off. And I said, no, I got it. I have to do this.
Right.
That was incredibly hard.
Yeah.
The first show that I did after 9/11.
Oh.
Was brutal. It was
when
3 days after.
Oh, that's pretty soon.
Yeah, it was 3 days afterwards, and we still didn't know what was going on. We were given a playlist of songs that we couldn't play. There was all kinds of people who had no idea how to handle the situation and what to say on the air. We thought comedy was dead, you know, and all that stuff. That was the first show back,
man.
After 9/11 was really, really tough.
Right.
the November 9th. 2016
yes
was real hard.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yes.
And just recently the last show with Esmeralda.
Oh yeah.
There was only the second time I've ever cried on air. It was when it was our last show with Esmeralda.
Yeah, I had lunch with her last week.
great. She just filled in yesterday for John Williams.
Woo-hoo!
She and John Hanson. So,
awesome.
And she's going to be on our show again.
She's going to be around.
No, she's going to be around. Yes, it's just that I miss her. I mean, on a daily basis, you know,
she was part of the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. The other question is a bucket list guests. Like, if someone was like, hey, who would you like? We can get you anybody.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, P.T. Anderson.
Would be.
Okay.
Right up there. And, geez, that's a good question. Jeff Bridges?
Oh, yeah. You've had some pretty good people.
Well, I mean, you know, George Saunders is one. The writer George Saunders is one who actually, he knows Bill Leff, right?
They grew up together.
They grew up together.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good question. It's a really
good
question. Music people.
Dave Matthews? Maybe.
Well, yeah, I'd love to have Dave on. Paul McCartney, Paul McCartney for sure.
Yeah.
And let's see.
And then, yeah, anyone else, like people that
that's tough. I'm just trying to think of, John Irving.
Oh, my favorite book of all time.
Which was?
Prayer.
A Prayer for Owen Meany.
Yeah.
We were talking about movies that make you cry, and someone said, one of my favorite movies of all time is Simon Birch, and I went, no. Because they ruined the book. Prayer for Owen Meany is one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
I'm trying to think of other Clint Eastwood.
That would be quite something.
Yeah, I would love to have him on.
That would be, you would get some stories. Mm-hmm. Also, he just seems nuts.
Yeah, well, he's got a new movie coming out.
He does? A directed or in it?
In it, and both. The guy's like 89 years old.
He's like 107.
And
what's
he keeps
doing?
Releasing movies.
They're good.
That's the thing. This is called The Mule.
The Mule.
And he plays a 90-year-old guy who is bringing drugs across, for a cartel, bringing drugs across the border.
Okay.
And it wasn't supposed to come out until next year sometime. But Warner Brothers saw a rough cut of it and said, we're releasing this in December and we're pushing the Oscars for it.
That's when can you see it?
It comes out December 14th. I don't know when they're going to screen it, but like Bradley Cooper's in it, Lawrence Fishburne is in it, Michael Pena's in it, and Clint's the lead.
This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So those are my questions.
There we go.
The
bucket list guests though. More than that.
Okay,
there's got to be more than that.
I have one more. I forgot to ask you this. Would you ever, if they said, hey, do you want to have a TV show? Would you, a talk show?
Yeah, sure. I mean, but I've got a face for radio.
You say that, and it's just not true.
I would like. I would love to do a. I would love to do a TV talk.
You're
show.
Much cuter than Drew Carey. okay, so
thanks. That's a real nice compliment,
no,
Jen.
But I think that I think it might be good. Someone the other day thought I was Robin Baumgartner. Who's that?
From WGN?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I do think she's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just not her.
Yeah.
I happen to not be her. But
yeah.
I was like, no, that's not me. But okay. I was gussied up, you know.
And so they thought you were Robin?
Yeah.
Robin might be listening right now.
Hey, Robin.
Because she's awesome and she's getting up probably right about now or getting ready to go to work.
No,
or
I love her. I think she's hilarious.
She's the best.
Okay. So you would do a television show.
Someone sure.
Said, the Nick DiGilio television show.
Sure.
Program.
And I would rip off everything that Craig Ferguson did.
I was going to say.
And I'll hire Josh Robert Thompson.
Yes.
To do the skeleton. I know I couldn't do that. That would be I couldn't rip off something so great.
You could rip off yourself.
You know, Dana DiLorenzo was on Craig's show.
What?
Oh yeah, she was a regular.
I didn't know
she
that.
Played Beth, the CBS executive. So whenever like,
oh my God, she's super famous.
Whenever Craig would do questionable material, she would go, you can't say that. She was like the fictional CBS executive.
She's super famous.
She played that role, and she was also for one night she was the talking rhino on the wall.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, she's worked a lot.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
For her.
She was just on REL. That little
that
Rel
show.
Howery.
I never saw it.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if she's going to be pleased that I saw that. I said that. She was only in it for a couple minutes at the beginning, and it wasn't very good.
Oh.
And she kind of knows it wasn't very
okay.
good. But yeah, because I texted her, and I'm like, hey, are you on Rel tonight? She's like, yeah, but you don't have to watch. And I said, too late, I watched it. And
well, you know. Well, you know, she's still working.
Yeah. And she's doing another convention. She's doing a convention in, I think, Minneapolis.
Wow.
She just did one in Jersey.
You've got some real famous
friends. And she'll be in town this weekend, and I'm going to see her. She's got a wedding here.
So. I'd love to meet her sometime.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's my future ex-wife, so I think that at some point you will.
So I'm your future ex-bridesmaid to Dana.
There you go.
There you go. That works.
By the way, Tracy Butler from ABC News, who controls the weather. Tracy Butler, by the way, if you don't know this, controls the weather.
Oh.
She texted in, "So awesome to hear Jen on my way in today."
Yay!
Tracy Butler coming in. See, hey, we get all the early morning TV people listening to this show. Marcus LeShock listens while he gets escorted with his by his chauffeur.
If you're listening, I'd like your job. Okay. Moving on.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Probably not. No. They have a thing going.
They do. Yeah. So
anyway,
thank you for the questions. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for answering.
Okay. Jen, you got to get in here more often, okay?
I'm available now.
Okay,
I'm ready
good.
To rock.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
And please give my best to your husband, Miles.
Your boyfriend.
Because
yes.
I love him.
Yep.
And again, if you want a custom-created monologue for auditions, Jen will help you out. JenBosworthWrites@gmail.com. Come in, interview, hang out.
We'll have fun.
And then you'll write for
him. Yep, will do.
JenBosworthWrites@gmail.com. And best of luck with the screenplay.
Thank you.
I hope it gets sold.
Me too. Yeah. I need an addition on my house.
To go along with Michael Caine's.
Yeah, I'd like him to move in too. Wait a minute.
I think that'll happen. All right, Jen, always good to see you.
Nice to see you.
All right, we'll take a break here. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago. It is Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. We'll get that started. Get your requests in now. We'll play them in a little bit. 2 for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. Give me a 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. So we're going to be talking about the most unlikable TV characters or shows that have very unlikable characters on them. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you about some of the characters that there are TV shows that just have really completely unlikable characters on them. And the reason that I bring this up is because I watched the premiere episode, the pilot, first episode of a show called Camping, which is on HBO. And it stars Jennifer Garner, David Tennant, Juliette Lewis, Ione Skye, and others. It is created by Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham of Girls fame. She created that show and wrote and directed many of the episodes, obviously played the lead on it. She played Hannah. And a lot of people have talked about how kind of annoying and unlikable her character was on Girls. And some of the other characters on Girls had that quality of being reasonably unlikable. So last week, Dan Feinberg was on with us, and Dan, you know, we have him on every 2 weeks on a Thursday morning, every 2 weeks to talk about TV and all that kind of stuff. And I was curious about the show Camping, and he proceeded to say that if you found, you know, any of the characters in Girls, particularly Hannah, annoying, then you're gonna really hate the lead character in Camping. And so basically they've cast Jennifer Garner, who is widely liked by, you know, most people. And she seems to be, you know, like sweet and likable and very, very nice. And to cast her in this character as this character is really kind of a stretch, because she normally plays you know, at least likable characters. And in real life, obviously, when you see her on talk shows or being interviewed or anything like that, she seems like a really, really, really sweet person. So in the show, it's about a woman played by Jennifer Garner who has organized this camping trip where they're going to spend a few days camping. And it's she and her husband, played by David Tennant, and and their kid, and some of their friends and a relative or two, and they go to this campsite, and she's got everything written down. Like, she has a schedule. You know, she's got a plan, and she wants everything to be perfect. And she is, without question, one of the most annoying characters that I've seen in a show in a really long time, and relatively unlikable. And Dan was absolutely right when he said that it's going to test people's patience as to, you know, whether or not they can handle this show. And I totally agree with that. Now, not only is Jennifer Garner's character annoying, I mean, she is the, without question, the most annoying and sort of unlikable character and maddening character on the show. But there are other characters in the show who also do, who also have qualities that are not very likable and are pretty annoying. It's a show that made me, I've only seen one episode. I think, if I remember correctly, Dan had seen, I think, three episodes, and I think there's only a total of six. It's like a mini series thing. It's only half an hour long. Each episode is only half an hour long. And I think he's seen three of the six. I've only seen the one that's been aired on HBO, and I saw the pilot. And I have to say that it's going to be difficult for people to get through this. I really don't know if they're going to be able to get through it, because I can picture people watching maybe 10, 15 minutes of this show and just saying, no, that's it. I'm not going to watch any more of this. This is really ridiculous and uncomfortable. And it is. It is all those things. It is uncomfortable. I winced several times while watching it. The situations are sort of shrill and chaotic, and many of the characters are not very likable and do stupid things. And your lead character, played by Jennifer Garner, is without question the most unlikable and annoying character on the show. And yet, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely great. But I don't know if anybody watched. Anybody watch it? Camping on HBO? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Some of the other performances are good. David Tennant is terrific on it. Juliette Lewis is outstanding. And Ione Skye is wonderful. And you don't get to see Ione Skye very often. She plays Jennifer Garner's sister, who is married to a recovering drug addict, alcoholic, who... these are deeply, deeply, deeply flawed people. So I don't know. I was uncomfortable watching it, but that seems to be the point. So now, Dan, you didn't. I'm assuming you didn't watch it.
I have not seen it. No.
But you heard Dan talk about it. Feinberg talk about it.
I did. Yes.
But I got to say, I loved it. I really loved it. Like I when it was over, I was like, all right, I wouldn't want to spend another day with these people, like these people, especially Jennifer Garner. But for some reason, even though I was wincing while I was watching it, and I didn't really like anybody in the show, I didn't hate everybody. I mean, I actively disliked Jennifer Garner's character, but it was just like, for some reason, it all worked for me. It all clicked. Now, I have in the past admitted to liking shows that have unlikable people in them. Like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which, by the way, is having a stellar season. And those characters are reprehensible. They're like the worst. But the thing about Sunny is that it is so completely over the top. Like, it's not really, like, people don't, the characters in Sunny, nobody acts like that in real life. There's nobody who, and if they do, then they should be locked up. But that's one of the things. The tone of Sunny is so completely big and over the top that you can actually laugh with and at these characters, because the situations are ridiculous. And then, of course, there's Seinfeld. Not as ridiculous as Sonny, because a lot of that stuff is based in reality. But they are really an unlikable, selfish group of people who justifiably, even though I hate the finale, justifiably they end up in jail. So that totally makes sense for the way that those characters behaved for 9 years. And I know I've got a list here of the most unlikable TV characters of all time. And I wanted to hear from you guys. What are some other shows in which the characters are just completely unlikable? Dan, do you have any that pop in your head?
I do, but actually, just a follow-up on the list of things that you like, despite they've been kind of difficult. When you were describing the show to me, it reminded me a lot of your like of the show Divorce, which was also on HBO, which was another movie, or excuse me, another series that a lot of people just could not get into, but I remember you were a big fan of.
And you know what? Maybe I just like that kind of stuff, because also... Enlightened was another one of those shows where, like, Laura Dern's character was deeply screwed up and flawed and did some really selfish and awful things. And I loved that show, too. Divorce wasn't so much that the characters were unlikable, and they did do some terrible stuff to themselves and to other people. But it was just a show that dealt with divorce in a really sort of painful and honest way, and it went for comedy. Now, having been through it twice, I think maybe that added, there was some sort of recognition to watching that show. But yeah, maybe that's just something I like. I mean, it's clearly something that HBO likes. I mean, clearly they like to put shows on that, like Girls, Camping, Divorce, Enlightened. I'm sure there are more. You know, there are more shows that have, you know, like people being really uncomfortable and not good. Insecure is another one. The Issa Rae show, which is one that I was way behind on that show. Man, was I behind on that show. That show's terrific. But yeah. There was this show on Netflix, or maybe it was Hulu. It was either Hulu or Netflix, and it was called Friends from College.
Yeah, that comes up a few times on our list, because I remember vividly how much Dan mentioned how much those people were just
I couldn't watch it. I don't know why that, you know, like I've got patience for Sonny and I've got patience for these other shows. I stopped watching that Friends from College after the second episode.
Well, I mean, could it be, you know, kind of to the point you were mentioning that, like, Sonny, you're like, oh, this wouldn't really happen. But based upon what I've heard with the Friends show, that Friends show, that could actually be a series of people that actually exist.
And it's a very rare thing for me to not watch everything that Keegan-Michael Key is in, because he's one of my favorite people on the planet. And by the way, there was a great cast in that show. I mean, like a really, I can't remember who else was in it. I know Fred Savage, I believe, was in it. But I couldn't get through it. It's just weird. I guess it's just, you know, it depends on your mood and your sensibility about whether you have the patience to get through shows that are tough to watch. I just couldn't get through that one. That's the one where I was like, nope, I'm done with it. And there have been other shows and movies that I've hated the characters and couldn't get through. Ferris Bueller is a perfect example. That's a movie where I hated all the characters in that movie, especially the lead character. I just found him despicable. It's a personal thing, obviously. Everything is, you know, objective. So... But what do you guys think? Unlikable characters in TV shows that are populated with people that are just not good, and how much patience do you have for those types of shows? 312-981-7200. And also, has anybody watched Camping? Did anybody watch the first episode of Camping? Uncomfortable, wince-inducing, but I really loved it. So we'll talk about it. We want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. We'll get to that in a minute. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And get your requests in, one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's also the number to call or text, because we're talking about TV shows that feature unlikable characters. And the newest and latest to feature some really unlikable characters, especially the lead, is a show called Camping on HBO, which is a show that made me uncomfortable, it made me wince, and I loved it. So, and if you would like to jump in here, 312-981-7200, who do you think and what TV shows fit the bill for that? Here's Scott on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Nick. I kind of understand your feeling of watching something and being uncomfortable but liking it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're kind of similar that way. As a 10-year-old, 10, 11, 12, I could not stand Dr. Smith on Lost in Space. I knew right away, just from the inflection of his voice and the look in his eyes, he was a bad guy, and I could never stand him.
Yeah.
He made me uncomfortable. He was oily and sneaky, and, yeah, he just drove me crazy. And then I did not care for Frank Burns on MASH.
Yeah, well, I could see that. I could totally see that, yeah.
He just was such an odd fit with all those guys that were just trying to get through the war, and he was, he was like a big sissy, you know?
Well, I don't know, Scott, have you seen the movie, MASH?
Yeah.
Well, the character of Frank Burns is completely different in the movie version. Robert Duvall played him. And in fact,
right.
They drive him nuts, and they take him to like the mental institution at the end of the movie. Towards the end of the movie, he actually goes off the deep end. And when they brought him back for the show, Larry Linville played him, and he was just like completely over the top and wacky and also annoying, but not in the same way that not at all in the same way that Duvall played him in the movie.
Right, and just a quick aside: a movie character that I just could not stand was Sonny Corleone.
Sonny.
He just made me so mad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's interesting. All right, cool. All right, Scott.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't Sonny. It was Fredo.
Fredo. Okay. Now that makes more sense.
Yeah, I love Sonny. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Fredo's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, he just drove me crazy.
All right, Scott. Thanks, man.
Sure.
Yeah, Fredo. I knew it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. Yeah. Did you know, Dan, you know the scene where Sonny sees that his sister's been beaten up again by her husband, and he beats the crap out of the guy in the street, throws garbage cans at him, you know, like half of the stuff that wasn't supposed to happen. Like, James Caan broke that guy's rib, the actor's rib. I mean, he beat the hell out of him, like he really did. So that scene in the movie where he just is like pouncing this guy and smashing him with garbage can lids and garbage cans, he took it way too far. But Coppola never called cut. The guy busted his ribs. James Caan beat the crap out of him, and that's one of the reasons why the scene is so effective, because the guy's like, "Stop, jeez." Oh man! All right, here's Thomas on WGN. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hi. Three shows. I Love Lucy, The Honeymooners, and The Three Stooges. I Love Lucy. Lucy Arnaz is probably the most despicable character in entire history of television.
Wow.
Because she just terrorizes the apartment building, especially Fred and Ethel. And the way she just destroys Desi's life with just interfering, going down to the club consistently.
Okay.
And any job she has, she's just crazy. Number two is Ralph. The one thing that always bothers me about him is that he cannot get his wife out of that apartment.
Uh-huh.
That crummy apartment. And how he got Alice in the first place is just...
Well, that's always been a big question. Yeah. It's always been a big question. Yeah.
I mean, just get another apartment in the same building.
Yeah.
It would be an improvement. And the third one is the Three Stooges. No matter what job they got, they cannot function right. They just can't do anything right.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the point is of the Three Stooges. And I one time, Dan, I was trying to figure out, I actually asked Rich this, Rich Coase, and he was like, I'll work on this. How many jobs have the Three Stooges had?
That's a good point.
Because it's like, I mean, it's got to be hundreds, right? I mean, because like they have a different job in almost every short that they do. And I'm thinking to myself, seriously, how many jobs have these guys had? You know? It's pretty crazy. That's, Thomas, thank you. I don't know if Lucy is the most despicable character. I just think she wanted to, you know, more attention, and she wanted some fame. That's all. She wanted to be a part of Ricky's life in the entertainment world, and she would come up with schemes. Ralph Cramden, well, you know, keeping Alice in that apartment, he wanted to do better for her. That's why he was always, you know, coming up with these stupid harebrained money-making schemes that never seem to work out. He's always dragging Norton in with him. They never work out. And the Three Stooges, they're just the Stooges, man. But, yeah. I would have liked to have seen one episode of the Three Stooges where they, like, had to file for unemployment. That would have been, like how difficult would it be for them to file for unemployment? Let's see. 574 area code says house. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. 219 area code, Frank Burns from MASH, brilliantly played by Larry Linville. That's our second Frank Burns of the morning. 773 area code, Snoop from The Wire. Nah, Snoop rules, man. Come on. Snoop is awesome. She's the best, man. And they found her on the streets, too, man. There's a real legitimacy to that girl. Snoop was great. I'm trying to think if there are any unlikable characters on the... I mean, there are bad guys on The Wire. You know, people who do terrible things and kill people and do illegal activities. But I don't think I did. I think I liked everybody on The Wire. maybe Carcetti, maybe. Yeah. 231 area code, Urkel. Oh, that's a good one. Urkel. Did I do that? Shut up. Alex says the TV show Buffalo Bill with Dabney Coleman had a bunch of annoying characters. Yeah, see, now you're getting into Dabney Coleman territory. See, Dabney Coleman has made a career out of playing sort of despicable borderline characters that you end up loving. Buffalo Bill was a great show, and Dabney Coleman was a bit of a bastard on that show. There's no question about it. There was also, you want to know, another Dabney Coleman TV show where he was a flawed character that did stuff that wasn't very cool, that was, you know, was Slap Maxwell. There's a Dabney Coleman, I think that just goes with the territory with Dabney Coleman. And I love Dabney Coleman. He's just the best. But yeah, Buffalo Bill, boy, that was a good show. Good show. All right, annoying TV shows with annoying characters. 312-981-721. And evidently nobody watched Camping except me. I'd just be curious to see what people would think of that show. At least the first episode. All right, let's take a break. The news is coming up after this. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. And that's Weird Al Yankovic with Yoda. Mark the Breadman made that request, which means we'll hear one more from Weird Al. 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in here, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here till 5. And we're talking about TV shows that had unlikable characters in them and who are the most unlikable. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us, talk or text. So I'm looking at this list here, and there's a list here. And the first one that's on this list is Jeremy Jam, Councilman Jam from Parks and Rec. And yes, he's an annoying character. Some unlikable characters there. So they said Jenny Humphrey from Gossip Girl, Little J. I could see that. But she had disappeared from that show for like 2 seasons. She was barely on it. Let's see. Andrea Harrison from The Walking Dead. There's a lot of unlikable characters on The Walking Dead. It's one of the reasons why I stopped watching that show. Serena Joy from The Handmaid's Tale. Although she gets, you know, I will say that she, you know, in the second season, that character gets to do, you can identify with her pain a little bit more than in the first season. In the first season, she was pretty despicable. But in the second season, she was given a lot more to do. Now, here's one for you, Dan. You'll have to tell me about this one. Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother. Can you explain why he would be?
Yeah, so actually there was a running commentary on the show that the weakest link was the main star, and that was Ted. He was the guy telling his kids about how he met their mother. He was the main guy, and eventually...
Who played him?
Josh Ritter.
Okay.
We've talked about in the past how, for me, that show was really good the first four seasons, and then it just kind of fell off the things. And the last five seasons really focused on the annoying aspects of Ted. You know, in the first four seasons, he was a romantic guy, a good friend, things like that. And then he just became this whiny, woe is me, life is awful, and just, you know, just somebody insufferable, and nobody wouldn't want to be around, let alone want to find out who married him, because you'd be wondering, why did you marry him? Mm. So that's what happened there.
Was there an older version that
yes.
they did, that they had, like, an older actor playing him and then the rest is the show itself was a flashback?
So Bob Saget actually was the old Ted Mosby.
Okay.
You never saw his face. You saw him talking to the two kids, and Bob Saget was the narrator.
And he was the voice.
Right. And then they would just put Josh Ritter in old man makeup when they did.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. How did that show end?
So the mother, turns out, gets cancer and dies.
Oh,
and that's right. They used it as a MacGuffin for him to end up with the character Robin, who was the first girl he dated in the first season, who became part of the group. And so the idea was like, he tells them the story of How I Met Your Mother, but it was really kind of a reason to explain why he's interested in this other woman and wants to start dating again now that they're
passed. All right.
Yeah, classy.
Jeez. All right, let's go to the phones. TV shows with unlikable characters in them, and this is all came about because I watched the first, pilot episode of Camping on HBO, which contains some pretty unlikable characters. The most unlikable and annoying, which is the main character played by Jennifer Garner. And if you saw that, 312-981-7200, let's talk about more of that. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you, I heard an interesting interview once about Audrey Meadows, who was the second Alice on Honeymooners. And, I'm drawing a blank, Norton did the interview, and he said when, who the heck was Norton? I'm drawing
Art
a blank.
Art Carney,
okay. The interview was with Art Carney, and they said when... Jackie Gleason interviewed Audrey Meadows for the part. He thought she was too good looking for the part. And it turned out she ended up to make it to the final three for the part. And Jackie Gleason went to go talk to her at her place. And she purposely did not shower, did not put makeup on, did not fix her hair, made herself almost look as ugly as possible. And Gleason was... I'm so impressed by what she went to, the extent that she went to go get that interview, that that's how she got the job.
Yeah,
I've heard the Honeymooners.
I've heard that story before. It's a great one. But I mean, that still is a question though. When you watch the Honeymooners, it's like, how did Ralph Cramden get this babe? I mean,
all I can say is sometimes life is like giving a monkey a drum. So
yeah.
Have a good night.
All right. Take care. There you go. Let's see. We got some texts coming in. Unlikable characters in TV shows. 773 AJ from The Sopranos. Yes, I agree 100%. 815 area code. The guy who played the head Nazi in Oz. Isn't that J.K. Simmons? He played the dad in Juno. He was very likable. Speaking of Jennifer Garner, yeah, that's J.K. Simmons. I love that he's the guy who played the head Nazi on Oz. He's also in the bump, but we are farmers, bump, but bump, commercials. So you know, Dan, you remember the story of when I first watched Whiplash with my parents?
Yes.
Because my dad, you know, I was hanging out at my parents' house, and we were going to watch some TV. We were going to watch a movie or something. And my dad can't sit down for, you know this about my dad. He can't sit down for more than 45 minutes. He's got to get up. He's got to do something. If he's watching a sporting event, he'll get up, go to the other room and watch part of it, and go in the other room. And if he's not interested in what's happening, he'll get up and leave. He'll just go someplace. He'll be like, I'm going to go to the grocery store and get some things, even though if we just went there. So he can't sit. And so, like, watching a movie with him, I mean, going to the movie theater is fine. Because, you know, like, you're in a movie theater, he can sit for 2 hours and watch a movie. Well, I mean, he sat for 5 hours on Saturday because we watched two long movies back to back. We saw First Man and Bad Times at the El Royale and enjoyed both of them and sat through them. But, like, at home, watching a movie is like a task to get him to watch it. So I'm like, oh, Whiplash is coming on. We should watch Whiplash. And my dad's like, all right. He did not move. He did not move, and which I think is a major, major accomplishment. By the way, same director as First Man. Major, major accomplishment. And my dad freaked out during that movie and loved it. And now anytime J.K. Simmons is in anything, my dad's like, oh, Whiplash. Because he loved it so much. And I seriously, he did not move once. Didn't get up. Didn't get coffee. Didn't go to the bathroom. Didn't get anything. He sat there and watched that whole movie and was like, freaked out by the end. And my dad does not like jazz. You know what I mean? Doesn't care about drums, any of that stuff. But he loved that movie. Now, my mom had already seen it, so she was getting up and going and doing other things. She had already watched it on cable. But he had never seen it, and he was just like, whoa. My dad was blown away by that movie. And, like, at first, when I told him what it was about, I was like, it's about this kid who's taking lessons from this drum teacher in a school of jazz. He's like, what? Because that's all those things. All of those things are, like, a negative on my dad's list. Jazz? No. School, no. Kid, no. Drums, don't care. And so that says a lot about, you know, how unbelievably disinterested my dad was, who's hyper and can't sit down for more than a half an hour and just could not pull himself away from that movie.
And I remember that was one of the movies that he would go out of his way to recommend to people at Jules.
Yes, he did. You know what was another one that my dad went nuts and recommended for, like, weeks? After we saw it, he went nuts over 10 Cloverfield Lane with Goodman and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. He loved that movie, and he went nuts. He told everybody at Joel. And there was one just recently that we saw that he kept telling people that you got to see, and I can't remember what it was now. It was a few weeks ago. And he went crazy over it and was telling. And it wasn't A Star Is Born. It wasn't the last three that we saw. It was one that I thought was good, but he went nuts and told everybody. He kept telling everybody that you got to see it. And I can't remember what it was. So, but yeah. 815 area code Maud. Yeah, I can see it. I can see Maud being a little overbearing at times. No question about it. No question about it. But, like, what they were trying to do with that, which I'm sure everybody knows, they were trying to make a liberal version of Archie Bunker. Because they had the conservative, you know, Archie Bunker, the very, very conservative Archie Bunker, whose politics were, you know, so far right he never made a left turn in his car. But Maud was the liberal version of that, and I could see her being annoying. 262 area code, Brockmire. Now, there's a show I've never seen. I hear good things about it. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
It's the sports announcer. He plays, why am I blanking on Hank Azaria. Hank Azaria plays the sports announcer. And I hear really good things about it. I've just never watched it. That's another one of those that slips under the radar for me. 708 area code. My unlikable character is Ernest T. Bass. It was his limited vocabulary, annoying laugh, and his tendency to throw rocks in windows every appearance. He's the cousin Oliver of of the Andy Griffith Show. Sometimes I feel bad for the kid who played the cousin Oliver. You know what I mean? It's not his job. Not his fault. He got a job. You know.
We had him on Bill's show once, and he was pretty cool. He took it in stride.
Yeah.
He seemed like a pretty cool guy.
Martin in Bolingbrook says, John Cryer and 2.5 Men needed to be pummeled. See, I don't watch that show. Was Charlie Sheen likable on that show? Have you ever seen the show, Dan?
Just a couple things. I think it's kind of like two heads of a coin. You got the John Cryer, who's just so mealy-mouthed, just annoying, versus Charlie Sheen, who's just so rude that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Obviously that contrast.
Oh, all right. 630 area code. Brandon from the TV show Fosters. He swoops in and falls in love with his adoptable foster. He is just this weird, unlikable character who falls in love for no reason whatsoever. I don't know that. Don't know that. All right. Let's get to more annoying characters and more unlikable characters that you found in TV shows. 312-981-7200. Let's take a break here for some weather. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and Mark the Breadman, Weird Al, and he themed it. He did the Star Wars theme there for Two for Tuesday. The saga begins, and it is Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll play more of your requests. 312-981-7200. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran coming up at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter, with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, we're talking about annoying characters from TV shows, annoying and unlikable characters from TV shows. And let's see, we got a whole bunch here from that are listed here, and there's a couple of other ones here. Someone says, Mr. Gideon says, while hilarious and easily quotable, not a single main character in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would be in any way likable in real life. They have no redeeming qualities. I don't think I've ever sympathized with their characters at all. Another person says, I really liked Billions despite not liking a single character on the show. They're all pretty awful people. A. Bruno says, the last series I watched with unlikable characters would be Friends from College. And that was a Netflix. A trailer I saw made it seem like it was a bunch of friends doing a lot of drugs one night. I originally thought it was a movie, then I started watching it, and they're all pretty awful. Those were some comments online. So, let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You're Scott on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Nick. I just want to tell you, you have the best overnight show in the country. I'm the over-road truck driver, and I really appreciate what you do.
Oh, man, thank you. That's kind of you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to say Daniel from the Cobra Kai series. Have you seen it?
Nah, you know what, man? I still have not caught up on that. And I'm angry at myself for not having catching up on it, because I hear nothing but great things about it.
Well, it's awesome. And I want to say that Daniel's kind of a punk in there, and I find myself cheering for Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I'm going to catch up with it. I have to catch up with it, but yeah. All right, Scott, be careful out there, okay, buddy?
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Yeah, man, have you seen Cobra Kai?
I have not.
I hear it's really good. You know, Jim Ryan watched it twice. Watched the whole series twice. In the trailer, I do love the fact that in the trailer, because when the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, wait a minute, wait, Danielson is the bad guy in this. It seemed like they did an old switcheroo.
It certainly seems so.
Yeah. 773 area code says, Frank Gallagher on Shameless, the most horrible character ever. Can't say much about the others on that show either. Yeah, the characters on Shameless are, that's another, you know, that one, we should have mentioned that one earlier. I stopped watching that show. Pete, I would say J.R. Ewing from Dallas. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And they shot him. Man, that was such a huge thing. The who shot J.R. thing was ridiculous, how big that was. That's got to be, like, if we ever do a topic like, you know, biggest cliffhangers ever that captured the, you know, the nation, that's got to be number one. Like, who shot J.R.? Because it was everywhere. And then, of course, you know, the Simpsons piggybacked that with who shot Mr. Burns years later. But, yeah, who shot J.R.? That, I mean, that was a phenomenon. 301 area code, Negan from The Walking Dead. There's a lot of characters on The Walking Dead that are unlikable. Negan, obviously, you know, because he's got a barbed wire baseball bat and he's smashing people's heads in with it. So that, clearly, he's a bad guy. But I mean, there's a lot of characters on the Naked Dead, on The Walking Dead that are just like, man, shut up. I really love that show. The first three seasons of The Walking Dead, I really loved it. It was right around the time that the governor came in. That was when I was like, ugh. Then I tried watching it. I told you this, Dan. I tried watching it when it was the episode where it was Negan holding court and he didn't know whose head he was going to bash in.
Right.
And then, so I was like, well, I'll watch the season premiere. I watched the season premiere, and I couldn't even watch the whole thing. And it was brutal, too. I mean, it was brutal. Unnecessarily brutal. And, you know, you're looking at a guy who enjoys brutality.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's not a phrase that often comes out of your mouth.
763 area code. How about Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne? Lenny and Squiggy rule, man! You have to love every one of their entrances, because it's always like the timing is, you know, like let's say somebody's in the apartment or they're in a room with a door, and then someone will say, "Oh man, don't talk like an idiot." Hello, and that's when they come in. The setup is always like, "Yeah, why are you acting so stupid?" Hello, and then they come in because they're stupid. Lenny and Squiggy rule, man. I love those guys. 708 area code. Scott Kahn plays Danny Williams in Hawaii 5-0. Very annoying. I don't watch that show. Dan, do you watch Hawaii 5-0?
I have not seen it, no.
Okay. I thought since it was paired up with Blue Bloods that you might watch it every once in a while.
Yeah, we're behind on our Blue Bloods. So.
Uh-oh. Tom, Dwight from The Office. Well, yeah, I guess. There are some annoying characters on The Office, too. There's more than one annoying character. I think Ed Helms is annoying on The Office. So, all right, let's take a break. We got a lot more here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and it's all because of this show, Camping, which I loved and is filled with people who are jerks, especially the lead character. And welcome back. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. I am your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's Tuesday morning. That means two for Tuesday.
You mean two for Tuesday?
And it's one artist, two songs. And Lou picked the Traveling Wilburys, Heading for the Light. And yes. So we are talking about characters that are unlikable or annoying in TV shows. Because this new show on HBO called Camping is populated with pretty annoying characters, especially the lead, who is really unlikable and annoying, played by Jennifer Garner. But I really loved the show. I thought it was great. And that got me to thinking about other characters that are annoying. So 630 area code says, when watching Happy Days as a kid, I could never figure out who I hated more, Ralph Malf or Potsy Weber. Yeah, those guys were pretty annoying. Jim in Carbondale says all the jerks on Jersey Shore. Well, yeah, that's an obvious one. Yeah, for sure. 773 area code says I didn't realize how annoying Sarah Jessica Parker's Carrie Bradshaw on Sex and the City was until I got to view the episodes in succession on E. In real life, it's hard to meet nice guys and have them as boyfriends. Carrie met a zillion nice guys and acted like an idiot with each one, including Mr. Big, who married her. And even then in the movies, she was an idiot to him. Uh, You know, I remember the screening of the first Sex and the City movie. Dan, have I ever told you this story?
I was working with you that night.
Oh, were you? So they sent out the invite for this first Sex and the City movie for a screening of it. So I come down, and the screening says 7 o'clock. So I get there, and it's like I get there at like, you know, 6:45, and then and by the way, if I remember correctly, Dan, the Cubs were playing the Cardinals that night. I don't know if it was an important game, but it was a game. It may have been an important game. I'm not sure, but it was a game that I wanted to keep track of. And so we go. I get there, and the critics are all sitting in the rows, and all of a sudden they start this at 7 o'clock. Instead of the movie starting, they did like the night before the premiere was in Hollywood. Maybe it was New York, because, you know, Sex and the City obviously takes place in New York. Well, either way, it was either New York or L.A. And so they were like, hey, now we're going to do coverage of the red carpet of the premiere. And I'm sitting there, and Eric and Colin and all, and we were all just kind of like sitting around going, what is this? And so they did a half an hour pre-show thing with, or maybe it said 7:30 and it started at 8. Maybe that's what, either way. So they did this thing where it was like interviews with people on the red carpet going in. And it was not mentioned by the publicists. They did not say that there was this half an hour stupid pre-show red carpet crap that none of us wanted to sit through in the first place. And so then they did, you know, they did this whole thing, and then it lasted a half an hour. It lasted a half an hour. And minute by minute, the critics section, there were two rows of critics, or two or three rows of critics. This was at the River East, right? It was right downtown. It kept getting angrier and angrier. Angry because we had to sit through this crap for a half an hour that we didn't care about and we were not told about. And angry, and some of us were angry because we were missing the Cub game. And, so the movie started a half an hour late, and it's like 2.5 hours long. And of course, obviously, it's a bad movie. It's a terrible movie. But if you're trying to make sure that the press gives your movie a bad review and you have a bad movie, don't tell them about a half an hour long red carpet piece of nonsense that you're going to run before the movie. Don't tell them about that, because you're guaranteed to get a bad review from them. I was so furious. I was furious.
I remember another thing you had shared with me, that there was a lot of guys who were on Deadline.
Yes.
And that was another big problem for them.
Yep. There were reviewers who were on Deadline who were like, you know, I'm getting it right under the wire here. If you started on time, because it's a long movie, I'm going to get my review in right under the wire. Now I got to sit through this half-hour nonsense red carpet crap that nobody cares about. That movie was terrible. And yeah, there's the characters in that show, please. Please. Keith in Kansas says, Herb Tarlick from WKRP in Cincinnati, he's a dweeb. But I mean, he's all right, though.
I mean,
he's a bit annoying just because he's such a dweeb, but yeah. All right, some of the other characters that they have here. Dawson from Dawson's Creek. Yeah, I would agree with that. I was always a pacey guy on Dawson's Creek. Will Schuster from Glee. Wow. Oh, this person didn't like it. Will was voted Teacher of the Year at McKinley High, but many fans argue that he was far from a great teacher. He might have appeared to be a good-natured Glee Club director, but in reality, he seemed more concerned with projecting his dreams onto the talented students that he took under his wing. He seemed more concerned with living vicariously through the experiences of his Glee Club, and some argue that he was far too involved in the personal lives of his students. They picked Dawn Summers from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Who's Dawn Summers?
That was Buffy's sister that they introduced without any explanation. She just showed up one day.
Is that, did Michelle Trachtenberg play her?
Yes.
Oh. Wow, I didn't know she was on that show. But nobody liked her? Everybody?
Well, it was just kind of like...
Who's this?
Just, okay. She has a sister now, even though the show's been on for 6 years, and there's never been mention of a sister, and you're shoehorning her in. Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then, you know, she was a typical 13-year-old girl, and typically those aren't joys to be around.
Right. She, by the way, Michelle Trachtenberg was also in Gossip Girl. Loved her on Gossip Girl. Michael Scott in The Office. Yeah, well, that's true. But again, that's that's the point. Why am I blanking on the character that Ricky Gervais played in The Office? David, oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on it. David.
Brent,
of course. David Brent. Much more unlikable than Michael Scott. David Brent was like, well, it's because the British version of The Office was much edgier than the American version. The American version, I was very skeptical of the American version. I remember when they were like, yeah, we're making an American version of The Office. I was like, no, because I'm a huge fan of the original British version of The Office, which I still maintain is absolutely brilliant. And then when I saw the pilot of the American version of The Office, which was essentially a complete copy of the pilot of the British version of The Office, I was like, this is just ridiculous. Why are they doing this? But then they found their own footing. There's no question about it, because the American version of The Office was great. But David Brent is much more annoying and much more uncomfortable. And Michael Scott was a character that could make you feel very uncomfortable, and he was really overstepped boundaries and was annoying. But, I mean, David Brent just took it to a whole different level. How about Scrappy-Doo from Scooby-Doo? Nephew to beloved Scooby, Scrappy-Doo was introduced in the animated series in 1979 and has since become infamous as an example of networks drafting up controversial additions to TV shows as part of an effort to revive the ratings. The ire against Scrappy even culminated in his character becoming an antagonist for the main crew in the first 2000 live-action Scooby-Doo movie. Yeah, Scrappy-Doo. The Oliver, the cousin Oliver of Scooby-Doo. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll take a break, and then we're going to wrap it up, and I got to tell you about Price is Right coming to town, and we'll do that after the 4:30 news. But if you want to squeeze in your choices for unlikable and annoying characters in TV shows, 312-981-7200. Break in here for the weather, and here is your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today, mostly sunny, not as cold, a high near 57. For tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, low around 37. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 50. And Thursday, more sun, high of 59. Friday, showers, high of 63. It is currently 35 degrees at O'Hare. It's 35 at Midway, 38 at the lakefront. All right, we'll take a break, and then we're going to wrap up the conversation about annoying characters in TV shows, unlikable characters, and we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back. We are in the Allstate Skyline studio here. Two for Tuesday continuing. That's What Artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Lou, again, with his choice, Traveling Wilburys, and that's End of the Line for your two for Tuesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about annoying characters on TV shows. And on this list that were a whole bunch of contributors threw their choices in, someone picked Ross from Friends. Does that seem fair?
Yes, he was the wet blanket on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I know he was just these swimmers, like, oh, oh, oh. Was he whiny?
Yeah, you know, and kind of the what we were talking about, How I Met Your Mother earlier. It was one of those things where at the beginning, he's likable, and then just towards the end when they started running out of storylines, it was just whine and whine and whine.
How did he end up with Rachel?
A lot of people are asking the same thing.
They say here Ross Geller was a miserable human being who believed he deserved everything he wanted and would whine if he didn't get it. He was conceited, selfish, and sexist. Women don't owe men anything, but Ross was the type of man who believed that they did. He expected Rachel to love him, but was constantly complaining, acting like the victim, and sabotaging Rachel's romances with anyone else. And then he ultimately got the girl that he didn't deserve in the end. And, like, they don't like Ross. Any mention of his monkey? What was Marcel, right?
Marcel, yes.
Yes. Was the monkey likable?
Everybody likes Marcel.
Everybody likes Marcel. All right. All right. We got some phone calls here. And here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
All right.
Elf.
Elf.
I couldn't stand that furball.
Yeah.
I just really couldn't. I don't know what the appeal was.
Yeah.
But, hey.
Yeah, it was a huge show, though. I don't understand it either. I didn't get it either. I never watched the show. I only watch a couple of minutes here and there, but I never understood it.
Yeah. No. Well, stupid TV, I guess.
All right, Glenn, thanks. So.
All right, yep, have a good one.
Elf, it's my cat. I want a cat sandwich. Where's the cat? I want to eat a cat sandwich. That's my elf. Sounds pretty good, right?
Thought he walked in.
Yeah. For some reason, hey, listen, Joe had an elf doll. And one night we were watching TV like in his basement or something, and somebody took a baseball bat to Elf and like baseball batted his ass across the room. Joe's like, "Hey, leave Elf alone." Like, all right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Donald on WGN. Hey, Donald.
Hi. Yeah, I was going to talk about the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Most of the characters at the beginning were terrible. They were all in the producer room and all that. And then later on, the only character that really stayed awful was the neighbor Phyllis, you know, played by Clarice Leachman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ted was Ted Knight was not. Well, he was just stupid. He was just stupid and lucked into his job, which made everybody crazy.
I'd like to say something real quick about The Price is Right. I've been watching a fan club stuff from Star Trek, and there's a fan film that's done in animation called Aurora, and the super villain in it basically creates a holodeck of The Price is Right.
Oh.
And he goes there to meditate.
He goes there to meditate.
Yeah, because it's like ancient culture. It's the 24th century. He's there, and he likes to go there. He's recreated the set, and they play the music.
Wow, that's
so good. They actually got the rights to do that, you know, from The Price is Right for this production. So,
all right, cool. All right, Donald, thanks, man.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
There you go. All right, we got some texts here. Javon from Talis says, "Mr. Peanut Butter from BoJack." BoJack Horseman, he's that guy that you try to get rid of and they end up loving you more. Come on, man, leave me alone already. 815 area code says, "I can never stand Barney Fife. As a six-year-old, I found him an appalling representation of an adult." That's hilarious that a six-year-old was like, "That is an appalling reputation of an adult." Michael from Iowa says, "Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory." Yeah, I would agree with that, even though I don't watch that show. But anytime I see clips from it, I'm like, no. Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out. 773, young Sheldon is totally annoying. Let me say something here, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
As a viewer of Big Brother during the summer months, I would sometimes see the last 5 to 10 minutes of young Sheldon because it would follow young Sheldon on Thursday nights. And I can't imagine watching more than 5 minutes of Young Sheldon without putting my foot through the TV. I can't. I mean, seriously, I can't even imagine why anyone would volunteer to watch that show. Tony says Larry David and Jeff Garland's wife's character on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Listen, man, Susie rules. Don't even play around. And those scenes between Larry David, I agree with. He's a completely unlikable character. And there are a lot of unlikable characters on Curb as well. I love Susie, though. I think Susie's the best. But, you know, Larry David created Curb Your Enthusiasm. He also created Seinfeld. His style is to create shows and movies and projects entirely wrapped around really unlikable characters. But Susie's the best, man. She's the best, man. But those clips where she goes off on Larry David and Jeff Garland are hilarious. Are absolutely hilarious. 224 area code, Chip Baskets from Baskets. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Um, 312 area code says the whiny doctors on Grey's Anatomy. They're all whiny, aren't they? They all whiny? They're all whiny and then they all have sex. That's basically the entire show. 301 area code, Thomas Gibson on Criminal Minds. He has exactly one facial expression. He looks annoyed and it's annoying. Let's see. Vito in Wheeling sends a text. It wasn't the Cubs playing the Cardinals. It was the Cubs playing the Dodgers in the playoffs that year. I remember in 08. I was managing a bar at that year and in River North that time. No, you know why? It can't be that. I tell you why, Dan, it can't be that. Because there's no way I'd go see Sex and the City and not watch the Cubs in the playoffs. Was it, what year did Sex and the City come out? Did it come out in 08?
Yes.
Well, it, there's no way that I would go. There is no way that I would go to see Sex and the City if the Cubs were playing the Dodgers in the playoffs. And they did play the Dodgers in the playoffs that year, and they got swept. I know that. But it couldn't have been the same night. There's no way.
There was a Cubs-Dodgers game that May 28th, 2008.
Well, that's not the playoffs.
Right. It must have just been a,
just been a regular
might
game.
Might have been an important game in terms of standing or something.
No, I mean, clearly it wasn't a very important game because it was May. You know what I mean? But I was just pissed because I was watching Sex and the City and not a Cub game. But yeah, I knew it wasn't a playoff game because it would be like, oh, what am I going to do? Am I going to watch the Cubs in the playoffs or am I going to go see Sex and the City? Schneider on One Day at a Time, someone says. I just found it creepy that he could just go in there anytime he wanted with keys and take showers and stuff. Let's see. Here is Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
The stereotype of nosy neighbors, Gladys Kravitz.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Have a great day, guys.
Okay, take care. Let's see. Miss Jane on Romper Room and Floyd the Barber on Mayberry. Wow, Miss Jane? Was it, you know why? Because she never saw you in the mirror. That's why. Roseanne Counter. Sam from Different Strokes. Joey in Full House. Babette from Gilmore Girls. I like Babette. I'm definitely in the minority here, but I despise Carol Burnett doing the Tarzan impersonation and that screaming, "You have no soul." 847. You have no soul. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Price is Right and how it's coming to town. Well, wow.
Wow.
Two for Tuesday.
We just talked about that song.
Well, Canadian Bill, he requested it, and he's dedicating it to you, Vic.
Canadian Bill dedicated that Snow Informer to me.
He did. He said it was either that or Glass Tiger.
Well, I got one thing to say then, Canadian Bill. Thank you, eh?
Yeah, there you go. A.
Thank you, A. I appreciate that.
And it was fun to actually read the lyrics to
I have a
Informer.
Funny story about those lyrics. It'll take about 10 seconds.
No, go ahead.
This was in, I want to say, right around 1990. I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan, at an air base there. And that song just intrigued me because I listened to it. What are the lyrics? Now, this was back, I didn't have a computer at the time in my house. And I don't even... I don't think Google was even around then. And so I was listening to the tape, or maybe it was a CD, I think. I was listening to it and trying to figure out the lyrics. And I actually could recite the whole song and sing it, but I had no idea what I was saying. Because it was all phonetically written down.
Well, we had the lyrics. I read them on the show the other morning. Or at least one verse, right? I read the chorus, and then I read one full verse. And it was the lyrics made no sense whatsoever.
Honestly, I think someone took my cheat that I wrote those down on and just published it online, because Licky Boom Boom Dow doesn't make sense.
No, none of it. And not just the chorus, though, Vic. Like, the verses made no sense. Like, they made no sense whatsoever.
Were they words? Were they actual?
They were words, but okay. Words that shouldn't be put together.
Well, you know, I wonder if he did that on purpose, just because they sound pretty good together, right? I mean, if you listen to it, it sounds, you can't help but tap your foot or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't want to. Snow had another song?
We have another one.
Two for Tuesday?
It's a romantic song.
Romantic?
We get to hear the romantic side of Snow.
Snow is going to be romantic? With the Licky Boom Boom Down? What? Oh,
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, maybe this was the song he sang to his girl once he got out of prison.
What? Yeah, because he was in prison. That's part of what the song is
the
about.
Lyrics we learned about. He's an informer.
He's an informer, and he literally ends up in the hooskow.
Prison changed him, maybe.
Now, is this song that we're going to hear that he actually had a second song? Does he do it fast?
No, it's up tempo.
Yeah.
But it's not anywhere near the
spitting
that he does on the first one.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I was just looking at the screen on WGN Channel 9 News. And there were a group of people happened a meeting in a bank in China, and a python fell out of the ceiling onto the floor.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did.
What the hell is that? Not a little snake. Like a big-ass python fell from the ceiling. What's going on there? Is that just a thing in China? Do they just have snakes?
We in America, we have snakes on a plane. They have
snakes in the bank.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
I'm sorry, but that was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. A giant snake falls right in the middle of the group of people having a meeting. Suddenly, boom, a snake hits the ground and starts slithering around. Like, what?
You know what? I did not see this video because I got it confused with the python that fell from the hospital ceiling in Washington.
Wait a minute. What? Is this a thing now when snakes are falling from the sky? We
don't know the cause of the China one, but according to this article from USA Today for the Washington Hospital, the python reportedly slithered around the hospital for a full month. A full month! My God! After a visitor smuggled the snake into the hospital inside a cat carrier filled with stuffed animals.
Wait. I'm sorry. What? So
a friend snuggled
his pet. I'm assuming it was a patient.
Yes.
Who had a pet snake, and a visitor, a friend, brought it in.
The snake owners notified the hospital about the missing snake after he got home, per the station. Workers were warned, but they forgot about it until a white ball python dropped out of the ceiling ventilation on April 30th. Then the owner came to the hospital, picked up the snake, and took it home.
So, a month. A month.
See, now, I've lived in places like Central or South America or the Caribbean where it's not unheard of that an iguana would get up in a person's attic, much like a squirrel would hear. So, it would make sense. I mean, to me, it's not out of question that if a python got up there and fall through these tiles, you know, that can't hold much weight.
No, I understand that, but I would never go to that hospital. If they're letting snakes crawl around for a month before they find it.
They do say in this article that the ball python poses a very low risk to humans.
So what? There's a snake crawling around in a hospital. What the hell are we talking about here? No, it's not going to hurt anybody. But still, it's a hospital, and there's a snake loose in it for a month. Who the hell is running that hospital? Is it Grey's Anatomy? Because everybody's sleeping with each other? They can't pay attention?
On the other hand, if you're going to get hit in the head by a python... You know, the hospital's
at least
a pretty good
place. No, right. You're in a hospital. That's right.
Lucky day.
Oh, look, a snake fell out of the ceiling and bit me. Thank God it happened in a hospital.
I was at a hospital.
Not a good hospital, because the snake's been crawling around for a month now. Oh, my God. And that was in Washington.
Apparently, it also happened in Australia in September.
Well, see, now that I can believe.
Right.
I mean, it's Australia. They've got animals down there, and if you look at them, you die. I mean, that's the, you know, I'm running.
Yeah, those kangaroos.
What's the name of that animal, Nick?
It's just, they've got stuff. Australia's crazy, man. They have the craziest animals in the world in Australia.
The outback. They don't call it that for nothing.
And, like, they get into people's houses, and it's, like, no big deal. Oh, look at this giant warthog in our house, honey. That's all right.
That's how Yahoo Sirius's hair got that way.
Yeah. Every time he went out, he saw all kinds of crazy. No, they've got crazy stuff in Australia.
This Australian story.
Oh, God.
It was a fight between two male pythons over a lady snake. And the fight went into the ceiling ducts and then crashed through the ceiling.
It's always a girl.
I know, right?
There's a reason why we shouldn't live in Australia. There's just something. Anytime I've ever heard any of the crazy crap that comes out of Australia involving animals, it's like, why do people live there? What is it? Russell Crowe got out.
They kicked him out because of the same.
I mean, that's where the Mad Max world is. Do you want to live in the Mad Max wasteland? Seriously?
They are milking deer there now, though. I gave you that story.
Yeah, right? I know.
They're milking a deer. Which apparently is not an easy process. No. Vic, in your world travels, did you ever encounter a snake? I mean, I know you've encountered scorpions.
You know,
and
I actually encountered
in your ear.
Yeah, quite a bit, but it was in the United States. It was when I lived in New Mexico. There was tons of rattlesnakes and bull snakes. And in fact, we used to, when I was in high school, when I would drive to school, you know, back and forth from basketball practice, if I came across a bull snake in the road, you were supposed to try to avoid it. But if it was a rattlesnake, you were supposed to try to. Now, you have to realize the roads in New Mexico where I lived are there's not a lot of cars around. In fact, there's basically none except you. And you're supposed to slam on your brakes, kill the rattlesnake, and then get out. Take your shovel, which you have always in the back of your pickup truck, cut the head off, bury it, and then go on with your day.
Wait a minute.
That's what they teach you to do, young person in New Mexico. I challenge anybody to call in and back me up here.
Is that a law?
No, it's just something that your parents and family and the people in your town, they teach you to do that.
Kill the rattlesnake, cut off its head with your handy shovel, and then bury it.
Right, and I'll give you a good example. A good friend of mine, Leanne Moat, from high school, was bit by a rattlesnake, and she missed an entire year. She nearly died, so...
God,
you know they.
Well, can't you just safely stay in the car and just keep going? I mean,
why do you need to cut off a head if you run it over?
They will continue to bite. I mean, it's just something that you're taught to do because they will continue to bite for a pretty good little time.
God.
After you kill them,
man, oh man,
tarantulas too. That was the other thing in New Mexico: snakes and tarantulas.
That sounds like a pleasant place.
Sounds like a, that dude's name, Spider and Snakes guy?
Jim Stafford.
Sounds like a Jim Stafford
song. I don't like spiders and snakes. You know why? That's because he lived in New Mexico. Probably.
Apparently.
All right. So in New Mexico, were they falling out of the ceiling?
There's just a lot of them. You got to be careful. Depending on where you're at. Where I lived was very near a cap rock. It was out in the country. You know?
Uh-huh.
I've had a snake come into the house. I've seen scorpions in our basement. It's pretty crazy in New Mexico.
All right. Well, New Mexico is America's Australia, apparently.
Yeah, probably the closest thing maybe that we have. I haven't been to Montana. That might be some wild country up there.
Oh, my God.
Wyoming.
Anyway, so snakes are falling out of ceilings all over the place. Latest place, China. In a bank during a meeting. My God. I still can't believe that there was a snake running around a hospital for a month. I can't even wrap my mind around that. How the hell do you run a hospital and allow a snake to slither around for a month? How does that happen? Is it sane elsewhere so it doesn't exist? It's in a snow globe? What's going on? And wait a second. Now, it wasn't someone stole the snake, right?
No, somebody smuggled it in.
Yeah, but then someone reported the snake missing.
Right, the patient.
Oh, the patient reported
patient,
it missing.
Patient, yeah. Oh. When he realized that it had gotten out of his carrier.
And it took a month. They knew there was a missing snake in the hospital, and it took a month. Worst hospital ever. That's it. Hey, I just want to let you guys know. Can you let the staff know and all the doctors and the surgeons and the nurses on the floor? My snake got loose. We'll get right on that. Month goes by. You find my snake yet? No. Oh, there it is. It just fell through the ceiling. Thank God. All right. We're going to break, and then I'll give you all the details on how you can see the Price is Right and win some money so you can buy a snake. Now, I would never in a million years guess that's snow. That doesn't sound anything like him going licky, licky, boom, 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 boom now. Canadian Bill requesting snow. That ends, it's everybody wants to be like you, and that ends 2 for Tuesday for this week. We'll do it again next week. Yeah! Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6, and coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Hey, did you hear that Price is Right is coming to town, Dan?
I did.
How about that? No Drew Carey, though. Hey, you might get Todd Newton, everybody. How you doing? I'm Todd Newton. How are you? The Price is Right Live, a touring reproduction of the long-running TV game show, is coming to the Chicago Theater this coming winter. Don't expect to see Drew Carey if you come on down to the show on February 17th, 2019. This is strictly a stage version, not the real deal. Price is Right Live travels to theaters around the country and gives select audience members the chance to play games from the long-running TV classic like Plinko, Cliffhangers, The Big Wheel, and Showcase. Hold on a second. The Big Wheel and Showcase are not games. Cliffhangers is, obviously. That's with the yodely guy falling off the cliff and dying. That's my favorite game on The Price is Right. And Plinko's a game. The Big Wheel is what you spin in order to get to the Showcase. And the Showcase is the Showcase. That's not a game. You got the clock game. There's so many other games that they could have actually put in that sentence. Although guests won't appear on TV, they will win big if they guess The Price is Right. The Price is Right Live's website says it's given out more than $10 million in cash and prizes to audience members. So get your tickets now at Ticketmaster to throw your name in the ring. Tickets are priced from $32.50 to $49.50. All right, Dan, you know how big the Chicago Theater is.
Yes.
They're clearly not going to pick anybody in the second balcony.
I was going to say, I wonder if they have second ticketing balconies. Because you can't. But
it's going to hear the theme. It's going to take an hour and a half to get down. It's going to come on down. They're up there way in the back in the second balcony. It's going to take them 15 minutes to get to the stage. I would guess it would just be the main floor. My guess would be it would be the main floor. Maybe, you know, like the first 25 rows.
According to the seating chart I'm looking at, it does include the balcony.
Well, maybe those seats are non, like you can watch, but right. You can't be a part of the...
Right, or they establish there isn't a come on down. It's just pre-selected people.
Oh, maybe it is pre-selected.
Because, like, isn't that how the Price is Right works? That, like, they get interviewed in line.
Yeah.
And the producer goes, all right, this guy would be really great on air. And then that's how they are eventually selected. It's not a random.
Yeah. Process. But again, like, if they're being interviewed outside, you know, like when you go and see it at CBS,
mm-hmm.
you're being interviewed outside. It doesn't matter where you sit.
Right.
But if you're being interviewed outside the Chicago Theater, how do they ask to see their tickets?
I bet it's the other way. I bet it's like, okay, we've got our collection of 20 people. We know where they're sitting. We'll make sure you guys are all in the lobby.
And then, oh, okay.
You know, and then, so like if you had a balcony seat, but we really want you to be part of it.
Right.
Don't sit in the balcony. Sit here in the lobby at our designated area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably what it is. They've had a block of seats that were roped off or not taken so that they could switch out. That makes more sense.
So you still get to come on down, but it's not.
Right.
You're not waiting for hours.
It would be hilarious, though, if they just said, yeah, you just the guy in the second balcony, 15 minutes later, snakes falling from the ceiling.
We do have more snake tusks.
What do we have now?
According to 406, Montana... they do the same thing that Vic described in New Mexico. They run them over and bury them after they hit them. 815 encourages you to settle down. It was probably a foot and a half long snake at the most. It probably found one warm spot the entire month and waited for a mouse to come by. It wasn't running around the hospital, running in quotations. I will politely disagree with that and say a snake is in a hospital. I don't care if it's
a warm spot. It should not be in a hospital, and they should have found it.
708 points that the silver lining would be that the hospital was probably rodent free for the entire month. And then
that's a glass half full right there.
And then 412, make note to self: never visit Vic.
Well, it's not like he walks around with scorpions and snakes in his pocket. That is, you know.
He's just happy to see you.
Yeah. Hello. Hold on a minute. Wait now. Hold on. I can't believe somebody said it's okay if the snake was in a hospital. He was just sitting there in a warm spot. No. A snake should not be in a hospital for a month. I don't care if it's moving or not moving. Jeez. Anyway, get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com for Snake Village, the new touring show with Vic Vaughn. And he will show you how to decapitate a snake in a hospital. All right. Anyway, no Drew Carey, but you might get Todd Newton. Yay, Todd! Todd Newton! So, anyway, tickets are on sale now. February 17th is when the show is. So, go knock the yodeling dude off the mountain and kill him. All right. We'll take a break. Tomorrow, now we've got the food. Do we have the food
tomorrow? Yes, tomorrow is the food.
And Noah Gabriel, right?
No, that's the next night.
You know what, man? I'm leaving.